Bednar is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local? It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years. Helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do. It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home. Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982, we're all in it together.
There are a lot of people who are expecting, most of the economists were expecting, an addition of some 7.5 million people to the unemployment rolls this month. Instead, it turns out that unemployment actually decreased by 2.5 million. Dow Jones experts, according to Daily Wire, had predicted the rate would soar to 19.5% with another 8 million jobs lost. The economists were not even close. The economy actually created more than 2.5 million jobs in May, according to the Labor Department. The May gain was the biggest one-month jobs gain in American history since at least 1939. President Trump wrote on Twitter, "It's a stunner by any stretch of the imagination. It's a stupendous number. It's joyous. Let's call it like it is. The market was right. It's stunning." Jobs returned to many sectors, from retail sales to restaurants and bars to clothing stores to dentistry and medical practices. Jobs were lost in government and education due to ongoing school closures. Futures on the Dow soared more than 650 points on the good news. The unemployment rate increased by more than 10% in April, went all the way up to 14.7%. The March jobs report barely caught the initial surge in unemployment. It was just then at 4.4%. There was some bad news on Thursday, with the Labor Department stating that 1.8 million Americans made first-time claims for unemployment benefits last week. That pushed the number of people who had lost their jobs amid the pandemic above 42 million. Weekly jobless claims totaled 1.877 million. Dow Jones analysts had estimated a job loss of 1.775 million. So this is all bizarre. A lot of people who are still claiming unemployment, but a lot of jobs were added to the economy because it turns out that people are not into being locked up and losing their jobs forever. And a lot of the people who are on unemployment have technically been sort of furloughed, right? A lot of them went to their employers and they said, if you could just kind of lay me off so that I'm eligible to make more money off unemployment than I am working for you right now since I'm furloughed, that would be great. But those people are going to get their jobs back. The economy is expected to begin recovering during the second half of 2020, the CBO's May report had said. The labor market is projected to materially improve after the third quarter, but obviously this was happening earlier, right? So bottom line is that people want to get back to work. People are getting back to work, and that is amazing. That is really good news. This led Paul Krugman, the expert over at the New York Times, because the experts are always right. This is the thing that we have learned over the past several months, is you must listen to data, you must listen to the experts, you must listen to the science. Now, as somebody who is kind of fond of listening to data and science, I've been noting all along that the data and science have not been backing a lot of the positions taken by the so-called experts. But it is amusing to watch as Paul Krugman becomes an employment truther. He tweeted out this morning, "This being the Trump era, you can't completely discount the possibility they've gotten to the Bureau of Labor Statistics." They've gotten to them. President Trump went to the Bureau of Labor Statistics and he said, it's going to be your unemployment numbers or your brains on this piece of paper. But it's much more likely, says Paul Krugman, that the models used to produce these numbers have gone haywire in a time of pandemic. He says these numbers should make you more, not less pessimistic about the economic outlook. Why? Because they'll reinforce the White House inclination to do nothing and let emergency aid expire. Unbelievable. So you were wrong by like the swing there from 7.5 million jobs lost to 2.5 million jobs gain. You were off by 10 million jobs in that swing. And your initial response is, this is very bad because it means that there won't be as much stimulus as we need. Or you're just wrong about like all the things, Paul Krugman. And you have been wrong for years. This is the same guy who suggested the internet would not change the way we did business. It would be like the fax machine. Right? Genius, Paul Krugman. The guy's just incredible at what he does. So that is very good news. People have been saying on the right, is it possible that Trump can still win given everything that's going on, given the fact that he's trailing Joe Biden heavily, given the fact that he's trailing in a lot of the swing states? The answer is if the economy really recovers And if COVID doesn't kill everybody, then by the time we get to the election, the story ain't going to be the riots. The story is going to be the economy booming again, or the economy skyrocketing again, or the, I mean, this month we had the greatest jobs growth since 1939, the economy picking up again. And in the face of that, Joe Biden and his performative wokeness. Because right now, the performative wokeness looks good when you got a lot of people out in the streets and when everybody is being forced to kneel at the altar, almost literally kneel at the altar of the proposition that America is systemically racist. Every major corporation putting out notices about this and Joe Biden out there rah-rahing it in the middle of rioting and looting. Right? All of that looks good when President Trump doesn't look like he's in control. But if we get to November and the actual question is booming economy versus performative wokeness from a dead guy in Joe Biden, that is a better race for Donald Trump. It is a better race for Donald Trump. So good economic, basically Trump's entire future in politics rests on an economic recovery at this point. It has to happen for him. If there's no economic recovery, he's toast. If there is an economic recovery, then he could win. And he could win, you know, a fairly solid victory in the Electoral College. We'll get to more of this in just one second. First, right now you're probably working from home if you're working at all. And that means that you really need earbuds that are going to work for you and drown out the sound of your kids screaming in your ears. Everybody needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. They sound just as amazing as the other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are really comfortable, perfect for conference calls, video chats, binging podcasts. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are stylish and discreet, no dangling wires, no stems. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/ben. They've been a game changer for me. They fit my ear perfectly. Some of these one-size-fits-all routines, they don't actually fit my ear all that well. Raycon gives you a bunch of different options so that their product fits your ear exactly how you need it to. That's buyraycon.com/ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/ben, buyraycon.com/ben. Again, that's buyraycon.com/ben for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Okay, so meanwhile, in the rioting news and the looting news and the protest news, the big story of the evening and of the morning was this video. There's a lot of video that's coming out right now of the police being brutal to people. And this is bad, and all the officers involved should be punished when they are brutal to people, obviously. The police have a really rough job. That does not alleviate them of their responsibility to not involve themselves in acts of police brutality. We have seen this happen a bunch of times. So there is a situation that happened in Buffalo, New York, yesterday, in which an elderly man, apparently he's 75 years old, approached police officers. He's a protester. And he is pushed. He loses his balance, and he smacks his head against the pavement. Medics come forward and treat him. They put him in an ambulance. He was taken away. The man's name is Martin Gugino. He's of Amherst. He's in serious but stable condition, apparently with a concussion and lacerations. The officers were seen walking past him as he lay bleeding on the ground, and then they went and they arrested somebody who was behind him, who apparently was not leaving when they were supposed to leave. The Buffalo mayor, Byron Brown, issued a statement saying he was deeply disturbed by the video. The officers were suspended without pay. The governor, Andrew Cuomo, of course, called the incident wholly unjustified and utterly disgraceful, which it is. I just wish that Andrew Cuomo were quite as upset about, you know, mass rioting and looting in the middle of New York City. You can do both, right? I'm not upset with the tweet about this being unjustified and disgraceful. I'm more upset that he allowed people to run roughshod through his major city for 7 complete days and 7 complete nights. Like, that seems like that was a bad policy. But with that said, there are a few points to be made here. One, police brutality is a thing that happens. It is a thing that happens. There are police who are brutal. And right now, because all the cameras are out and every police officer in America is out, you're going to see more instances of that. And that being caught on camera and police officers being punished for this sort of thing, I think most police officers are on board with that. In this particular case, the shove is bad. The guy obviously does lose his balance and he trips over himself. Don't shove 75-year-old people is the answer to the particular problem. The guy is white. And we've seen other cases. There was a case in Washington, D.C., when SWAT was attempting to disperse a crowd, and one SWAT member just goes right after a cameraman. There's a cameraman who's standing right there, and you see the SWAT guy take his shield and just slam the shield into the stomach of the cameraman. The cameraman's white. He's from Australia. Why do I mention the race? Because the narrative that we are being told by the Black Lives Matter crew is that police brutality is reserved for black people. But the issue here is not bad police training and police brutality and incidents thereof, but generalized systemic American racism. I've suggested that typically when you have incidents of police brutality, it's really more an issue of the fact that a lot of police are not well trained, a lot of police are too aggressive, that happens across communities. It is not relegated to the black community. And that to pretend that every incident of brutality is in fact an incident of racism is to make a category error. In fact, everybody who's jumping to the conclusion that the Derek Chauvin killing of of George Floyd, the alleged killing of George Floyd. And I say alleged because, again, there's conflicting autopsies on this. But the alleged killing of George Floyd by Derek Chauvin, people who are jumping to the conclusion that Chauvin did that because he's a brutal racist as opposed to because he's just not a good cop and was involved in incidents of police brutality and was badly trained. The jump there is not supported by the evidence in that particular case. Now, there are cases in which there is evidence to support the racism charge. So a perfect case in which where you have evidence to support a racism charge would be the Ahmaud Arbery case. So originally I said maybe this is just vigilantes who were attempting to stop what they thought was a crime, and they were wrong, and they're acting like idiots and bad people, and they got into an armed confrontation with Arbery and shot him, which means they should go to jail. But that is not a case necessarily of racism. Well, now we actually have evidence. So now it looks more like racism, right? So when you follow the evidence, the nice thing about evidence is it doesn't tend to bring you to the wrong conclusion. More data is generally good. Knowing the motivations of people is generally going to be more helpful in generating data for a narrative than simply just assuming the narrative. And what you're seeing from the Black Lives Matter movement, what you're seeing from the media is, and what you're seeing from every major corporation in America is now saying, I've donated $1 million to the NAACP Legal Defense Fund in acknowledgement of systemic racism. By the way, if you think that those sorts of donations are going to now alleviate people calling you racist, if you're a major corporation, you're wrong. It's not going to happen. Right? If Amazon thinks that by putting up a Black Lives Matter banner on their website, that people are going to now just pretend that Amazon is fine, that the left is going to leave Amazon alone, good luck with that. Right? Really, like, enjoy. Okay, but the reality is that in certain cases, you can actually tell whether racism is happening. So there is an allegation now that Travis McMichael, 34, called the alleged victim, Ahmaud Arbery, in that Georgia awful, awful, awful case, right? They're now being charged with murder. Travis McMichael, who is one of the shooters, called the alleged victim an effing N-word after the shooting and before police arrived, according to testimony from Special Agent Richard Dial. That came secondhand from a co-defendant, William Roddy Bryan, 50, the man who recorded video of the fatal shooting. Now, this has been called a little bit into question because the guy was recording the shooting from behind. He was in his car, so unless he yelled it, the question is how the guy in the car heard it. But assuming that he's not lying, assuming he's not trying to, you know, get off the hook by basically saying this was a racist murder and I wasn't involved in any way, it was the racism. But assuming it's true, which I don't see why we shouldn't assume it's true. Assuming it's true, that is a case of a racist murder, right? So, yes, racism exists. Yes, we can identify it. And yes, we can punish it. But to immediately assume that every incident of police brutality involving a black person is really about the race of the black person as opposed to the police brutality, I think is a fairly major category error. But we are not really supposed to talk about the category error because, again, there is a narrative to be driven. And the narrative is that America is deeply evil and deeply terrible in every possible way. And this is why you see senators kneeling at the U.S. Capitol. Okay, now, again, the kneeling symbol is, I don't know if it's deliberately vague or if it's obviously supposed to be the Colin Kaepernick thing, right? That was the symbol that Colin Kaepernick used. Colin Kaepernick, the former 49ers quarterback, got benched and then decided to kneel and wore socks with cops as pigs on them. He was kneeling for the national anthem and for the American flag because of police brutality. The implication being that America, broadly writ, is guilty for the sins of police brutality and racism is to blame for all police brutality. Now you have United States sitting senators who are kneeling in honor of George Floyd. Well, if the idea is that you have to accept that America is systemically racist, then that's a very bad thing for the country. Now, suggesting that America is systemically racist, here's the problem with making arguments like institutionally racist or systemically racist. They are deliberately nonspecific, and they are deliberately created so that you can never alleviate them. I don't like problems that you can never alleviate, especially in politics, right? It's a serious issue because, first of all, if you're not able to alleviate it, then you really shouldn't concern yourself with it in politics, right? If something in politics is not alleviatable, then sometimes the solution is worse than the cure. This is true with regard to, for example, income inequality. If you want to solve income inequality, you could go full commie and everybody can have the exact same income. But that is not an alleviatable problem in which the solution is not worse than the problem. If you say systemic racism, you never actually have to cite the policy you think is racist or point to the person you think is racist. Instead, you just say everything is racist. And as I said yesterday, that's a religious belief. It is not an actual specific belief about something that we can fix. Right? That's just racism is out there in the atmosphere. Who's the racist? I don't know. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you. Well, but I'm not a racist. I've never done anything racist. Well, maybe it's implicit. Maybe you don't even know you're doing a racist thing. Well, can you name the racist thing I've done? No. Can you name the racist thing that I believe? No. Can you name any of the racist things that I'm responsible for? No. But deep down in your heart, without you even knowing it, you're probably racist. Okay, well, now you have made an allegation that is completely unfalsifiable. So suggesting systemic racism or institutional racism is deliberately nonspecific. And if you want to talk about policy, if you want to talk about redlining, for example, back in the 1960s, which was a thing and was made illegal in 1975, right? By the federal government, if you want to talk about informal practices of redlining, which, by the way, are illegal, and by the way, you could sue banks over, then you're talking about a policy that has been alleviated by law. Right? If you want to talk about the fact that that history has consequences, that, of course, is true. But the question is, what do you want to do about that today? Because I can't go back. I don't have a time machine. I can't go back in time and change stuff that happened in the past. So what policy would you like to pursue today that is going to alleviate the problem of quote-unquote systemic racism? And if your suggestion is that we have to do injustice today in order to rectify the injustices of the past, the answer is no, because now you're just doing injustices today. Two wrongs do not actually make a right, nor do they alleviate the problem. If anybody thinks that slavery reparations, that signing checks to descendants of slaves, people are going to go, oh, okay, I guess we're done here. Systemic racism fixed. Good luck with it. It's not going to happen. And Ta-Nehisi Coates has admitted as much in his seminal essay, The Case for Reparations. Very late in the essay, he says, maybe it won't work, but we should just give it a try. Well, no. Your entire case is that the reparations are reparative. If you're saying it might not work, then it's not reparative. That's not. If you go to a mechanic and the mechanic says, you know, I'm going to charge you the worth of the car. All you need to do, and it might fix your car, it might not fix your car. Are you going to go to that mechanic? I have serious doubts. Okay, so we're going to talk more about the Black Lives Matter agenda, because it's not clear exactly what people are stumping for other than that generalized sense of America being bad, which is something that you as an American should oppose. We'll get to that in a second. Coming up, we're going to talk about Black Lives Matter and what are the actual policies they're pitching. The answer is they're not pitching policies. They're pitching a worldview. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So one of the questions people have been asking is what protesters are seeking to accomplish. What exactly are they doing? Are they proposing any policies? The answer is, of course, no, not really. So if you're talking about specific policies, the answer is that the BLM agenda, as posted on their website, is completely insane. I mean, it's things like defund the police, free Palestine. Like, it's just, it's radical, radical stuff. And if you don't remember the agenda, all you have to do is go back to 2014 when it was the exact same agenda that nobody actually wanted to adopt. So what exactly is driving all of this? What's driving a lot of this is the pitch, which is that America is deliberately keeping black people down. Now, I have a generalized view of human beings. They don't think about each other all that much. They don't spend an awful lot of time thinking about keeping other people down. Not in America. Okay, in America, there are not very many people who get up in the morning and they're like, you know what, I'm keeping a black guy down today. I really don't think there are a lot of those people. So if there are not a lot of those people and you can't cite those people, then you need to cite me the rule that's keeping black people down. And if you can't cite me a rule, then I'm not sure exactly what we are supposed to do about your accusation. If instead what is actually happening is the generalized leftist pitch that any inequality can be chalked up to injustice, even if you can't name the injustice, I'm not going to go along with that. If the idea is that any inequality, that income inequality, can be chalked up to some sort of exploitation or historic grievance that can only be cured by some new injustice, no. The answer is no. I'm not going to go along with that. And if you're going to imply that Americans are bad-hearted and racist, and that the only way to alleviate this is the expiation of sin through quasi-religious rituals in which you kneel and repeat after people, the answer is no. That is un-American. That is not something I'm willing to do as a free American who has not sinned against black people. That is not something I'm willing to do. I'm perfectly willing to accept my own sins. I have a full list on my website of things I feel I've said wrong over the course of my career. But I'm not willing to accept responsibility for something that my non-ancestors did. And I'm not willing, and nobody else should either. Just as a black person should not be forced to accept responsibility for things that black people do that are wrong, white people should not be forced to accept responsibility for things that white people do that are wrong or have done in the past. If you are looking to fix things, there's a basic rule in marriage. Okay, basic rule in marriage is when you're having an argument, don't say, you always X. Right? You always treat me like this. This is like the first rule of marital counseling. Why? Because it's not specific. It's not a problem you can solve. And usually it's inaccurate because people don't always do anything. Instead, you have to say, what is the exact problem that we have and how do we solve this problem that is right in front of us? If you're just going to suggest, without evidence, that every single instance of police brutality is indicative of broader American racism, and by the way, every instance of a black person killing a white person is not indicative of a bigger problem, it's just an individual incident, but every instance of a white person killing a black person is indicative of broader American historical racism, none of this follows. And it does not help when you trot out spokespeople like Al Sharpton, the worst race baiter of modern American history. Al Sharpton completely falsified a rape case about Tawana Bradley. Al Sharpton was involved in inciting the riots, in my opinion, in Crown Heights in 1991 that ended with the murder of an Orthodox Jew. He literally went out in front of a crowd and said that if a Jew wanted to fight him, pin back your yarmulke and come on over. Right? Al Sharpton was involved in the incitement of the burning of Freddie's Fashion Mart, in my opinion, again, in New York City in 1996, when he suggested that Jewish interlopers were taking over real estate in New York. That guy, his shtick is that he goes to businesses, he claims that they're racist, and then if they sign a check to his fund, he leaves them alone. This is Al Sharpton's shtick. So am I going to listen to him? Nobody has made more money off of the lie of systemic American racism than Al Sharpton. Nobody has made more money off of it than Al Sharpton. So using him as your spokesperson is a mistake. So Al Sharpton yesterday made a statement in which he suggested that ever since 401 years ago, the reason we could never be who we wanted and dreamed of being is you kept your knee on our neck for 400 years. Now, Americans literally kept their knees on the necks of black people all the way up through the Civil War and then in the South through Jim Crow. But Al Sharpton has had no one's knee on his neck. Al Sharpton has made a very, very lucrative career out of blackmailing people so that he would leave them alone. He says, we were smarter than the underfunded schools you put us in, but you had your knee on our neck. We could run corporations and not hustle in the street, but you had our knee on our neck. Okay, what is the policy need? So we can all be on the same page. What is the policy need that is on the neck of black people right now? If you can't name it, then I'm going to have a hard time taking very seriously Al Sharpton's contentions. This is the problem that I have with this program. If you want to march against police brutality, cops are marching against police brutality. Everybody is against police brutality. But the vaguer the charge, the harder it is to rebut. And that, I think, is the purpose. That is the goal here. The vaguer the charge, the harder it is to rebut. And that is why vague charges are being made. Coming up. In order to prevent people from coming to agreement, all you have to do is make an incredibly vague charge, like systemic racism. Fortunately, we have plenty of intellectual elites willing to do it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime. Let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, if you want Americans to unify, you need to make a specific allegation or you need to make a specific policy proposal. You can't just shout racism at the wind. But it seems like shouting racism at the wind is actually the goal. Why? Well, to disunify. So, Kihana Mariah Ross, a professor of African American Studies, has a piece of the New York Times called Call It What It Is, Anti-Blackness. She says it's not racism. She says the right term is anti-blackness. She says, to be clear, racism isn't a meaningless term, but it's a catch-all that can encapsulate anything, from black people being denied fair access to mortgage loans to Asian students being burdened with a model minority label. It's not specific. Anti-blackness is one way some black scholars have articulated what it means to be marked as black in an anti-black world. It's more than just racism against black people. That oversimplifies and defangs it. It's a theoretical framework that illuminates society's inability to recognize our humanity, the disdain, disregard, and disgust for our existence. Okay, evidence, please. Evidence. Seriously, disdain, disregard, and disgust for our existence. We have active affirmative action programs at every major American university because there is not disdain, disregard, and disgust for the existence of black people. There's a desperate attempt to help black people in bad circumstances move up the ladder of success. But the basic notion in America that anti-blackness is the defining feature, that, again, allows you to lay everything at the feet of an unspecified enemy. And then we get in this column the usual trick. We're going to go back 150 years to slavery, and then we're just going to fast forward as though nothing has changed in the interim. Anti-blackness describes the inability to recognize black humanity. It captures the reality that the kind of violence that saturates black life is not based on any specific thing a black person, better described as a person who has been racialized black, did. What does that even mean? The violence we experience isn't tied to any particular transgression. It's gratuitous and unrelenting. Anti-blackness covers the fact that society's hatred of blackness and also its gratuitous violence against black people is complicated by its need for our existence. For example, for white people, again, better described as those who have been racialized white. This is an easy way, by the way, of dismissing black conservatives and treating white liberals as though they are woke. The abject inhumanity of the black reinforces their whiteness, their humanness, their power, their privilege, whether they're aware of it or not. This is my favorite part. Whether they're aware of it or not. Okay, so now we're ghost hunting. Now we are, you're a racist, even if you don't know you're a racist. I can't explain why you're a racist, but I know you are, because whether you're aware of it or not, I know that out there, there's a bunch of people who are just anti-black. And the fact that you exist is evidence, as a white person, that anti-blackness exists. Like, the vagary is the enemy of unity. If you want people to come together, you have to make a specific proposal. If you want people to actually move beyond a problem, you have to make a specific proposal for a solution. That's what's so irritating about this. Because the only specific proposals I've seen, things like limiting qualified immunity or stopping police unions from negotiating bad contracts, I agree with those. Okay, but nobody wants to actually acknowledge that the right agrees on a lot of those points. So instead it's, well, if you don't agree on the broader point that America is broadly speaking racist, then you're part of the problem. Now, it seems to me that a big part of the problem here is the deliberate attempt to paint a vague picture of what the problem is in the first place, such that the goalposts can move ad nauseum. They can just move. Randomly. Everything becomes racist so long as people on the left suggest that it is racist, and the goalposts consistently recede. It doesn't, like, perfect example, college campuses. The reality is that on college campuses, there are no place in America has more accusations of racism than college campuses. These are also the most woke places on the planet. So if you think that acknowledging white privilege, which is like the de rigueur move on campuses, that if acknowledging white privilege on America's college campuses has somehow alleviated the problem of accusations of racism or alleviated racism itself, I beg to differ. There is no evidence of this whatsoever. Because, again, the problem is being used as a club. And, again, the problem is not even being specifically explained. What is the problem? And don't tell me bad things happening to black people is the problem. Bad things happen to everybody. And the question is why they happen and how we alleviate the problem. If you can't specify exactly where the problem is coming from, better than racism or anti-blackness that nobody knows about, and I can't name a policy, and I can't name a person, I can't name who did the bad thing. If somebody came to your house, and if you called the police, and let's assume a world in which the police are good, okay, like they normally are. Okay, you call the police, and somebody, and they come to your door, and they say, okay, what's the problem? And you say, the problem is a bad thing just happened to me. And they say, okay, what's the bad thing that happened to you? And you can't really specify the bad thing that happened to you, and you can't specify who did it, and you can't specify what exactly happened. What are you supposed to do? Is this a problem-solving routine, or is this just an expression of venting of spleen at inequality? And inequality is a reality, but it is not necessarily an inequity. Okay, so worth noting that anybody who thinks that the problem is alleviated by accepting your white privilege is full of it, right? Bill de Blasio, who spent the entire last week allowing rioting and looting to overtake his city, his daughter was arrested at a protest and he said he was proud of her. Bill de Blasio has spent, he did full speeches talking about his evil, horrible white privilege. Bill de Blasio got booed at a vigil for George Floyd yesterday. So well done on buying off everybody who you thought was going to appreciate your newfound wokeness.
Let us welcome, with respect, the mayor of New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio. And First Lady Sha'Carri McCray. Again, we say respect. We say respect. Say it with me, respect. Respect.
Okay, so the people at the rally have to be told to respect the mayor, who is the wokest mayor in America. So well done, everybody. Problem solved, right? Problem solved. What's hilarious is that Democrats made the pitch that America is systemically racist, that they can't name who's doing the racism or what the policy is. Just elect us and we'll alleviate it. Has it been alleviated in New York? Has it been alleviated in Washington, D.C.? Has it been alleviated in L.A.? All Democrats governing it. I haven't noticed. Okay, meanwhile, the performative woke crowd has taken over major American institutions. The culture wars are ongoing, and the culture wars are bloody. There are people like me who have been speaking on college campuses for a long time and pointing out the problems that exist on America's college campuses for a long time, particularly the problems of safe spaces and microaggressions, and if you say something I don't like, you're hurting me and you're creating a danger. And there's a general attempt by many in the media and by many on the left, cancel culture doesn't exist, cancel culture isn't real. Well, it turns out that it actually is. And not only that, there are a bunch of people on the right like, well, is it really a problem that it's happening on campuses? After all, these kids will one day enter the real world. And in the real world, they won't be able to get away with this bullcrap. In the real world, they will actually have to undertake to understand opposing points of view. Well, some must have been warning you that what starts in academia doesn't stay in academia, and that the ridiculous social justice warrior censorious culture was not just going to stay in the academy. It was going to leave and take over the institutions, and that the Maoist cultural revolution that you are seeing at America's major institutions is ongoing. It's so hilarious, by the way. Half of the Vox writing team is now realizing the cancel culture exists. They spent like years denying that it exists. Now I've seen in the last day, half of the writers over at Vox, a very left-wing publication, say, oh, by the way, this cancel culture thing, it's not great. It's not great. Why? Well, because of what just happened over at the New York Times. So I'm going to explain what happened over at the New York Times, and it is a perfect and ridiculous example of how when you start with the premise that America is systemically evil and that America is systemically racist, and then you suggest that America's rights, rights to free speech, rights to freedom of expression, that those rights fall unequally on people because of the innate inequality in American life, then all you have to do is curb those rights and make the rights available only to people who have been historically victimized. That's the injustice that has to be done today to correct for the injustices of the past. This is a case first made by Herbert Marcuse, the radical Marxist professor from the 1960s, when he suggested that what you really needed was repression of opposing viewpoints. He called it repressive tolerance. You need repressive tolerance. You need a situation in which tolerance of the left-wing viewpoint is exacerbated, and intolerance of right-wing viewpoints is put down, because that has to be silenced, because freedom of speech is actually bad, because if people who are bad use freedom of speech, those people could actually win. So we have to silence those people such that marginalized voices can speak. Okay, that perspective, and allowing the non-marginalized voices to speak, allowing right-wingers to speak, is a threat to your life. That perspective has taken over the New York Times. We're going to get to that in just one second. But first, let's talk about the fact that you are not at work right now, and that means that your IT department can't really protect all of your data. But that doesn't mean people aren't looking for your data. They are looking for your data. They want that data. They want it desperately. They want your credit card number. They want all of your data so they can monetize it. But this is why you should have ExpressVPN. I've been talking about ExpressVPN for a really long time. It is incredibly fast. It will not slow down your computer. You can install it quickly. One click of a button and you are protected. Don't think security threats don't affect you personally. They do. Not using ExpressVPN, it's like leaving your front door unlocked every time you go out. Sure, nothing might happen for years, but then there might be, I don't know, citywide riots and people could just break through that front door. One of the easiest ways to secure your internet data is with ExpressVPN. Go check them out right now. Visit my special link right now at expressvpn.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Protect your internet today with the VPN I trust to keep my data safe. I've been using them for years and touting them for years. It's so easy, even your grandmother could install it. Go check them out right now at expressvpn.com/Ben. That is EXPRESSVPN.com/Ben. ExpressVPN.com /Ben. You get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free and keep your data protected. All right, we're going to get to the unbelievable takeover of the New York Times editorial board. Basically, Nicole Hannah-Jones is now the editor of the New York Times. I mean, that's essentially what we have realized. She's not one of the editors. She is the editor. And she is determining all policy. The woke staff at the New York Times, and this is happening at a lot of major companies. If you've been noticing a lot of the major corporations issuing statements, that's because they have a lot of woke interns who are basically telling them that if they don't, then they're going to be very, very angry at them. And the Silence is Violence movement is gaining speed. I actually have I go to a gym out here when we're in non-pandemic times. The head of the gym emailed me yesterday and said he had received a cancellation from somebody, not because he had said anything bad, but because he did not put out a corporate statement about Black Lives Matter in the middle of this. So the person, like, he found the one person who's apparently sitting at home going, I need corporate virtue signaling or I will not patronize your business. Ridiculous. Coming up, Barry Weiss of the New York Times tweets out what's actually happening at the New York Times, and this, of course, makes her persona non grata. It's the Ben Shapiro Show.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
I'll see you later, okay? So Dr. Pui is the best of the best of the leukemia doctors at St. Jude. And we very quickly found out how much he loves his patients. One of our first visits with Dr. Pui, he was kind of running through the protocol and naming off all the medications. And he said, but don't worry, you don't pay that. St. Jude pays that. Just to think, like, and what if they didn't?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Barry Weiss is maybe the only sane person left at the New York Times. She tweeted out what was actually going on yesterday, and she then got excoriated by everybody else at the New York Times who are engaged in the performative wokeness of joy. The move toward America is evil, systemically racist, and therefore the only way to fix that systemic racism is to shut down all the voices we don't like. That move is being made by the New York Times staff, by the woke staff at the New York Times. And understand, they don't actually think that right-wing perspectives are quote-unquote violent. They don't. They don't actually think that. I think there are some of them who do. Some of them are so delusional that they believe that if they print an editorial from Tom Cotton, that that is actual violence to people. But I think most of them just don't like the viewpoint, and they are using the excuse of, your viewpoint is inherently unjust.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
You're seeing this over at the New York Times. So yesterday, there was a big brouhaha because Tom Cotton wrote this op-ed suggesting that it was time to send in the troops to restore order during rioting and looting. He did make a distinction between protesters and rioters and looters. But people at the New York Times don't make that distinction because they think that the rioters and looters are justified in tearing down the institutions of American privilege. Okay, so a bunch of members of the New York Times woke staff tweeted out the same thing. As I mentioned yesterday, they all did the college. This is all college bullcrap. It's all college bullcrap. I've been on enough campuses to know this. I've visited dozens and dozens, probably 100 campuses over the course of the last 4 years. They all do this. Okay, it's ridiculous. These campuses are replete with this kind of woke nonsense. And one of the things that they do, as I mentioned yesterday, is the... If you agree with somebody, you can't clap because it might trigger somebody's post-traumatic stress disorder. So instead, you're supposed to snap something. And you're supposed to repeat slogans. So if somebody says something, then you're supposed to, just like you saw at that de Blasio rally, somebody from the microphone says respect. And you don't just give respect. You're supposed to shout back, respect! Or at the Bethesda, Maryland thing, you're supposed to repeat sentence by sentence what somebody is telling you, which is a religious woke incantation. Okay, so the entire New York Times staff apparently decides to tweet out the same thing. Running this puts black New York Times staff in danger. In danger! If you're a black writer for the New York Times, Tom Cotton saying that using American military to put down riots is putting black staff at the New York Times in danger. Why? Are they rioting and looting? Are they flinging Molotov cocktails at cop cars? If not, they probably shouldn't feel super endangered by this. But this became such an issue that the New York Times, they didn't pull down the piece. They didn't issue a correction to the piece. Instead, they issued a statement. And here was their statement from their spokeswoman. We've examined the piece and the process leading up to its publication. This review made clear that a rushed editorial process led to publication of an op-ed that did not meet our standards. As a result, we're planning to examine both short-term and long-term changes to include expanding our fact-checking operation and reducing the number of op-eds we publish. So they're actually printing fewer op-eds because some woke staffers, who were not willing to quit, by the way, if it was such a danger, they should have quit. I've quit publications where I think that the publication is doing something deeply and terribly wrong. I've done it myself. None of these woke staffers were willing to quit the New York Times over apparently running a piece so dangerous it was putting their own staff's lives in danger. None of them were willing to quit. They're just willing to bitch about it to upper management so that the pusillanimous, cowardly upper management would apologize for running a piece that 58% of Americans agree with. Well done. By the way, how do you know they're lying? You know they're lying because it's 27 hours later, 29 hours later. This thing's been up for, I think, nearly 2 days, maybe 48 hours later. They still have not issued a correction on the piece. So if the piece was factually wrong, where's the correction? They still haven't pulled it down. It's still up. So this was just, please don't yell at us. Please don't yell at us. It's so bad. Why are you yelling at us? We're woke. The New York Times staffers, they were leaking to other publications news that people were canceling their subscriptions. Wow. Oh, man. First of all, I thought that generally speaking, you don't want your staffers leaking to outside publications. That's just not something that is done. And the staffers were leaking out amazing, amazing news. News like 200 people canceled their subscriptions inside of 1 hour. Well, if 200 people did a thing, that means that probably the 1 million New York Times subscribers, by the way, I think that's an underestimate, it may be 2 million New York Times subscribers, clearly they're all canceling en masse. The amount of cowardice in corporate America, even including in our press, and especially in our press, it's stunning. You want to know why Peloton is sending out little notices about woke culture? Because they're afraid they might receive 10 tweets. That's why. Because all of these corporations are cowardly, and so they've decided they're going to bow to the notion of systemic racism. By the way, what they don't understand is they are signing the death warrant for their own companies. because the woke culture is not satisfied with you making protestations of your innocence or of your guilt. Once you say that you are responsible for systemic racism, do you think it stops with that admission? Or do you think that now you're on the hook for every claim that people who claim that you are the problem are going to make? The admission of guilt is not an alleviation of your responsibility, according to these folks. The admission of guilt is the first step toward them wrecking you. This is how these apologies work. So Barry Weiss, who is one of the only sane people at the New York Times, she tweeted out, "The civil war inside the New York Times between the mostly young wokes versus the mostly 40-plus liberals is the same one raging inside other publications and companies across the country. The dynamic is always the same. The old guard lives by a set of principles we can broadly call civil libertarianism. They assumed that they shared that worldview with the young people they hired, who called themselves liberals and progressives. This was an incorrect assumption. The new guard has a different worldview, one articulated best by John Haidt and Greg Lukianoff. They call it safetyism, in which the right of people to feel emotionally and psychologically safe trumps what were previously considered core liberal values, like free speech. I'm in no way surprised by what has now exploded into public view. In a way, it's oddly comforting. I feel less alone and less crazy trying to explain the dynamic to people. What I am shocked by is the speed. I thought it would take a few years, not a few weeks. Here's one way to think about what's at stake. The New York Times motto is all the news that's fit to print. One group emphasizes the word all. The other emphasizes the word fit." Okay, this is correct. Naturally, everyone at the New York Times is like, that's not happening. That's not happening. Max Strasser says, "I'm in the same meeting Barry is, live tweeting. This is inaccurate in both characterizations. It's not a civil war. It's an editorial conversation." Oh, it's an editorial conversation that ends with you restricting your op-ed page, not pulling down a piece that supposedly is chock full of errors. By the way, for the New York Times to say that their fact-checking is bad on the Tom Cotton piece, this is the same newspaper that printed the 1619 Project that made the suggestion that virtually everything in the American Revolution was designed to preserve slavery, which is insane, fully insane. They won a Pulitzer for their trouble. Pinch Sulzberger, the idiot publisher of the New York Times, he put out a statement saying, "I've already heard from many of you. I will do more listening in the days ahead. There will be a town hall tomorrow." A town hall about running an op-ed from a sitting American senator. They've run op-eds from Vladimir Putin. They've run op-eds about why sex is better in communist countries. And they can't run an op-ed from Tom Cotton saying that maybe you might need to use the military to put down civil insurrection. Like, this is, it's crazy. It's crazy. He says, "I believe in the principle of openness to a range of opinions, even those you may disagree with. This piece was published in that spirit, but it's essential we listen and reflect on the concerns we're hearing, as we would with any piece that is the subject of significant criticism." So just absolute cowardice. Okay, how bad is the cancel culture? How bad is the censorious culture? There is a piece in the Washington Post by Alyssa Rosenberg, who is one of the TV columnists. And sometimes she writes interesting stuff. This is not one of those times. She has a piece titled, "Shut Down All Police Movies and TV Shows Now." So the police are so bad that we should all stop watching Law and Order because the police are evil. We should all stop watching any show or movie that portrays the police as good because we all know the police are actually brutal and racist. Now, first of all, if you think there has not been a TV show or movie made about police brutality and racism, let me recommend every single police show ever made except Law and Order and maybe Dragnet. Every show made since NYPD Blue has taken on these issues. Every single one. All of them. But Alyssa Rosenberg suggests that we have a generalized view of the police as good, and that's bad, and that needs to stop. She says, "For a century, Hollywood has been collaborating with police departments, telling stories that whitewash police shootings and valorizing an action hero style of policing over the harder, less dramatic work of building relationships with the communities cops are meant to serve and protect. Purely from a dramatic perspective, crime makes the story seem consequential. Investigating crime generates action. Solving crime provides for a morally and emotionally satisfying conclusion. The result is an addiction to stories that portray police departments as more effective than they actually are, crime is more prevalent than it actually is, and police use of force as consistently justified." And then she says we should cancel Dick Wolf's Chicago franchise of shows. We should get rid of Law & Order SVU. We should get rid of all of the shows that you like watching because obviously they are training you that the police are good. Instead, we should all watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine because it's a reformist police show. It's very, very important. One white forward might be to emphasize the dialogues and sometimes fierce struggles that take place within police departments. The Shield follows the reign and eventual downfall of corrupt Detective Vic Mackey. She likes The Shield and she likes The Wire, but those are the only ones. So for a long time, there was this idea, and it came from some elements of the right and some elements of the left, that rap music was causing people to be violent. Right? Video games also causing people to be violent. Then there was a bevy of social science, and it showed not so much. Okay, so now we have a piece in the Washington Post suggesting we stop all police movies and TV shows. There's a piece talking about how we don't need any more novels or TV shows about cops who do the wrong things for the right reason. We need to stop all of that. No more hard-charging cops in novels and TV shows. Instead, we need woke books. How fast is this taking place? Incredibly fast. All messages must mirror the same message. Even if that message is factually untrue, such as that America was founded on slavery, not on freedom, or that America is systemically racist, rotten to the core, every message must be made to match this message. You're listening to Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump paid a visit to a company in Maine that produces swabs for COVID-19 testing.
After touring the Puritan Medical Products factory, the president thanked workers for making high-quality medical swabs that are crucial for rapid coronavirus testing.
And every swab you make at Puritan is proudly stamped with a beautiful phrase, "Made in the USA." Do you like that phrase?
The Trump administration used the Defense Production Act to increase production at Puritan, which is one of only two companies that make the kind of swabs needed in COVID-19 testing. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Good news on the jobs front this morning. The numbers from the Labor Department shocked everybody. 2.5 million jobs added in May, the unemployment rate falling to 13.3%. President Trump called the numbers amazing.
As good as these numbers are, the best numbers are yet to come because so many areas are still closed or very partially closed. Very few actually are fully open. These numbers are with states, 50 states, and very few are fully open.
The May job gain suggesting businesses have been quickly recalling workers as states have reopened their economies. Tropical storm Cristobal, packing wind, rain, and significant storm surge, has a weekend date with the Gulf Coast.
We think that the storm will probably be making landfall late in the day, Sunday or Sunday night, but some of the impacts will start before then, maybe as soon as Saturday night.
National Hurricane Center specialist John Cangelosi.
Some of the highest storm surge we're forecasting is for 3 to 5 feet from the mouth of the Mississippi River to Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and some of the rainfall totals can be quite significant as well. Maybe not as bad as what they've seen in Central America, but they could see widespread areas of 4 to 8 inches.
Five people headed from Florida to Indiana to attend a funeral killed this afternoon when their small plane crashed near Eatonton, Georgia, about 50 miles north of Macon. More at townhall.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the impact of coronavirus and the upcoming election, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text money to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word money to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and better protect yourself from sudden downturns. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to stay or when to get out. Text money to 411-411 and we'll send you a link to our free demo so you can better protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point. Don't wait. Text the word money to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
News from down under. Police have challenged whether a Black Lives Matter protest planned for Saturday in Australia's largest city is too much of a virus risk. We get the latest from correspondent Charles de Ledesma.
Police have asked the Supreme Court to declare the Sydney protest illegal. Prime Minister Scott Morrison is among those who've criticised the plans, saying of the protesters, "I say to them, don't go." However, in Canberra, organisers of a rally handed out masks and hand sanitizer, and most demonstrators kept to a recommended social distance. Elsewhere, in South Korea, dozens gathered in front of the US embassy to condemn what they described as police brutality toward protesters in the US. Larger marches are planned to protest George Floyd's death this weekend. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
And you can always check out more breaking news. You can read the best analysis. Find them both at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The PGA's Memorial Golf Tournament could be the first one to welcome galleries back to an event.
Ohio Governor Mike DeWine has approved a plan for fans to attend the Memorial in July, hosted by the Muirfield Village Golf Club. The event, founded by Jack Nicklaus, would be the first PGA Tour event to open its gates since the tour was shut down March 13th by the coronavirus. DeWine says plans submitted for the tournament were approved by local officials. Other recreational facilities in the state, including amusement parks and water parks, will be able to open on June 19th.
George Bonzani reporting.
Michael Jordan and his Jordan brand are giving $100 million over the next 10 years to organizations dedicated to promoting racial equality and social justice. Jordan's the 57-year-old former Chicago Bulls great and owner of the Charlotte Hornets. His Jordan brand is a subsidiary of shoe giant Nike. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the Breakfast Combo Family Meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the Chicken Fried Steak Family Meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premie is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell Branch Manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Rioting and looting across the nation? It seems like if we had fewer police, this would all go away. It was just because the cops were there, guys. It was the imperialist colonizing cops that really drove all of the rioting and the looting. And then when the cops came back and they were actually enforcing the law and the rioting and looting, that looting stopped, that was a coincidence, you see. It was a big old coincidence. Or alternatively, this is the dumbest idea ever, and I hope every Democrat decides to run with it. Please, run on it. Run on get rid of the police. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, we need to talk about the astonishing death of COVID. It's really exciting stuff. So 1,000 people yesterday died of COVID in the United States. That's still a large number of people dying in the United States. If you prorated it across the year, 350,000 Americans would die, right? If you got this every day for an entire year, then you would get, and by the way, if you just took the stats from now till the end of the year, how many days are left in the rest of the year? Days left in 2020, there are approximately 209 days left in the rest of the year. So if 1,000 people die a day for the rest of the year, which is not impossible, then you could add on another 200,000 deaths. So you'd be looking at something like 320,000 dead people over the course of the year. So 1,000 people dying a day, actually kind of a big deal. 1,000 people died yesterday of COVID-19 in the United States. But here's the amazing thing. It's truly incredible. Let me explain. If you yell about George Floyd and white supremacy and America being evil, you won't get it. If you do that, like, it's amazing. They've been working on a vaccine. The vaccine was in your heart. The vaccine was in your heart all along. We can cancel the vaccine, guys. It's all over. COVID's been solved. Now, here's the thing. Either the virus changed or it didn't. So if the virus didn't change, right, there's no evidence the virus changed. Let's say that the virus didn't change for just a second, and it was super dangerous, like 3 months ago. We all had to lock down. We had to give up our jobs. We had to go home. We had to never go to a restaurant, never go to Disneyland, never see our friends again. We had to be locked in our homes. That's how dangerous this thing was. If that's true, then you now saying that you are willing to ignore all of that so that people can go out and protest, that would make you fairly full of, would it not? Right, like kind of full of. Now, let's say, by way of contrast, that the virus never changed and it was in the wrong direction, right? That it was never that deadly. In fact, it was so not deadly you can go out and mack people, like just make out with people directly in the streets. You can do line dancing in Nebraska, like anything you want. You can do all of it. And the virus was never that deadly. Well, then it seems kind of like you were full of then, right? Like for the past several weeks, for the past several months, it seems like no matter how you slice it, when you open you up, inside, there's just a pile of manure. It turns out no matter how you do this, you're just full of it. You're just completely and utterly full of it. That is the impression that I am getting of our healthcare experts at this point. Tom Frieden, the former CDC director for Barack Obama, who was on air for weeks saying, if you're killing your grandmother, you want to go back to work, you want to go to a restaurant, you want to go to church, you're killing grandma. Look at these evil protesters and they're evil. Now, here's what he's tweeting. The threat to COVID control from protesting outside is tiny compared to the threat to COVID control created when governments act in ways that lose community trust. People can protest peacefully and work together to stop COVID. Violence harms public health. You're going to need to explain to me how COVID is a threat created by the government acting in ways that lose community trust. I assume he means police brutality. So the real threat of COVID is police brutality, not tens of thousands of people gathered together and shouting their lungs out. That's a take from Dr. Tom Frieden, an expert with his sciencing. Ooh, so much sciencing by Dr. Tom Frieden. Alternatively, he's completely and utterly full of so much sciencing here. Incredible, incredible levels of sciencing. Unbelievable sciencing happening right here. Okay, how about we talk about other health experts? Like, let's say, remember there were healthcare workers? And you remember that healthcare workers lined up in the streets. There are a bunch of people who are anti-lockdown. And they literally lined up in the streets wearing their scrubs. The heroes of the day. You saw them. By the way, you shouldn't wear your scrubs outside the hospital. You know why? Because you get germs on you inside the hospital. You're supposed to take off your scrubs when you leave the hospital. How do I know this? Because my wife worked at a hospital. And every time she came back from a hospital, she would take her scrubs and immediately throw them in the washing machine. She wouldn't wear them around the house. She wouldn't wear them to protest because they're covered in germs, you stupid asses. So healthcare workers would go out and they would stand in front of the anti-lockdown protesters and they would stand arms folded, wearing a mask. Heroes of the day. Well, now, those same healthcare workers are taking a knee en masse, in crowds, together. Together, in giant crowds, not socially distancing. Wow, look at the magic. These are your healthcare heroes who are urging you, stay home to keep us safe. You bastards, if you go out, you're going to overwhelm our healthcare system. Keep us safe. At rallies with thousands of people kneeling together. Kneeling is the vaccine, guys. COVID solved. COVID solved. Or alternatively, everybody is so unbelievably full of crap. Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. If you go to the store and you buy seeds at the store, if you do this, let me just explain to you. If you do this, if you buy seeds at the store, you are endangering your grandmother. You are killing all of those around you. And in fact, if you go to an anti-lockdown protester, well, then mom's going to turn this van right around and we're going to go right back into lockdown if you go to an anti-lockdown protest. We're going to turn this van right around. Yesterday, there she was at a rally for George Floyd, wearing a handkerchief on her face and being in direct physical contact with other human beings. Wow. I'm glad. Look, it's amazing. Kneeling was the vaccine. Kneeling for America was the vaccine. Well, you know what? Colin Kaepernick should win a Nobel Prize, not just for peace. Colin Kaepernick should win a Nobel Prize in science. He should win a biology Nobel Prize. Because not only did he solve American racism by kneeling, kneeling solves COVID-19. So that quarterback, not only was he, not, I mean, what a man. He was an NFL quarterback who went to the Super Bowl, solved racism, and also solved COVID. It's unreal. It's incredible, guys. Let me tell you, the fact that 40 million Americans lost their jobs, you know, totally justified, because until people were kneeling in the streets, COVID had not been solved. But now that they're kneeling in the streets, totally cool. Everything's fine. Everything's good, guys. How fine is it? It's so fine that people are dancing en masse. I mean, we're having dance parties in the streets, guys, because COVID's over. It's over. You don't have to worry about it anymore. Yesterday in Omaha, Nebraska, police doing line dancing with the protesters for unity. Yay! And reporters celebrating this. Look at how wonderful this is. Line dancing. Line dancing. Clearly, America's in crisis. Line dancing. Okay, but COVID's been solved, guys. It's very, very exciting stuff. Just well done. Politico has an entire piece. It's called Suddenly Public Health Officials Say Social Justice Matters More Than Social Distance. For months, public health experts have urged Americans to take every precaution to stop the spread of COVID-19. Stay at home. Stay clear of friends and extended family. Absolutely avoid large gatherings. Now some of those experts are broadcasting a new message. It's time to get out of the house and join the mass protests against racism. Jennifer Nuzzo, a Johns Hopkins epidemiologist, tweeted on Tuesday, "We should always evaluate the risks and benefits of efforts to control the virus. In this moment, the public health risks of not protesting to demand an end to systemic racism greatly exceed the harms of the virus." Well, okay, just so 9 black Americans were shot unarmed last year. I feel like the risks of the virus are larger just on pure life-to-life terms than 9 people being shot. Even if you could stop that from happening, which you would hope you can. I feel like if we were told it was very bad to talk about 40 million Americans losing their jobs, losing their livelihoods, after all, it's just money. After all, it's just money. Life isn't just money. So 40 million Americans lost their jobs. No problem. But the risks of systematic racism and systemic racism that you can't even articulate properly, so high that we must all brave COVID-19 and go outside. Abrar Karen, a Brigham and Women's Hospital physician who's exhorted coronavirus experts to amplify the protest anti-racist message, said, "While I voiced concerns that protests risk creating more outbreaks, the status quo wasn't going to stop COVID-19 either." Oh, is that why you were speaking out against the lockdowns? Oh, you weren't speaking out against the lockdowns. Ah. The experts maintain their messages are consistent. They were always flexible on Americans going outside. They want protesters to take precautions. They're prioritizing public health by demanding an urgent fix to systemic racism. But their messages are also confounding to many who spent the spring strictly isolated on the advice of health officials, only to hear the need might not be so absolute after all. It's particularly nettlesome to conservative skeptics of the all-or-nothing approach to lockdown. Conservatives who felt their own concerns about long-term economic damage or even mental health costs of the lockdown were brushed aside just days or weeks ago are increasingly asking whether these public health experts are letting their politics sway their healthcare recommendations. The answer is obviously yes, because all of them were saying that anti-lockdown protests were very bad in the exact same circumstances. So go, GFY, guys, GFY. This is absurd. Absurd on every possible level. And I'm really enjoying Bill de Blasio saying that he cannot explain in any way the spike in hospitalizations that happened today in New York. According to the New York Post, the number of hospital admissions across the city spiked to 84 on Friday, a day after just 48 were recorded. But it's unclear whether the startling increase is related to the mass protests and spread of coronavirus, he said. That's a meaningful movement in one day. We're going to keep a close eye on that, said Bill de Blasio. We don't see any evidence it's related to everything that has happened over the last few weeks because of the time it takes for the disease to manifest. The mayor said it would take a week to 10 days to see any manifestation of coronavirus. Well, let me put on my time machine hat. You ready? You ready? We're going to go back in time to 1 week ago. What were people doing? Were they protesting? Were they? Now, last I checked, I'm no mathematician, but a week ago is 7 days ago. This is, and now we are seeing a spike, and it takes a week to 10 days for the virus to manifest. So I'm going to go with everybody is so full of... I'm sorry, like that. Are you? What is wrong with you people? What is wrong with you people? Either the thing's dangerous or it's not. And if it's dangerous, then it's going to be hilarious. It's going to be hilarious that the entire infrastructure of the media are going to go right back to how dangerous this is when it turns out that a disproportionate number of black and brown people who are at the protest start getting this. And then it's going to be, it's a racism. Racism again. Ah, racism rearing its ugly head. Well done, everybody. Well done, everybody. We're going to get to more of the asininity of our political class in 1 second. First, let us talk about the fact that you should be able to get sleep tonight. Now, I'm not. I have little kids. But when I do get on that mattress, I want to be cradled like a baby. And that is why I need a Helix Sleep mattress. Helix Sleep built a quiz that takes 2 minutes to complete. They use the answers to match your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. If you like a mattress that's really soft or firm, if you sleep on your side, your back, or stomach, if you sleep really hot, with Helix, there's a specific mattress for each and everybody's unique taste, like moi. Just head on over to helixsleep.com/Shapiro. They'll match you to a mattress that'll give you the best sleep of your life. I sleep on a Helix Sleep mattress, but you don't need to take my word for it. Helix was rated best mattress of 2019 by GQ and Wired Magazine. Everything is made right here in the United States. It's got a 10-year warranty. You get to try it out for 100 nights risk-free. If you try Helix and you don't like it, they'll even pick it up right from you, no problem. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off mattress orders. Get up to $200 off at helixsleep.com/Shapiro. Again, that's helixsleep.com/Shapiro. I've got a Helix Sleep mattress. It is incredibly comfortable. You should have one too. Really, it is the best. Check them out right now at helixsleep.com/Shapiro to get $200 off. Okay, meanwhile, Andrew Cuomo, the governor of New York, he's like, yeah, I sort of acknowledge that maybe people are going to get coronavirus. Just assume you have COVID if you went to a protest. Then why are you in favor of the protest? I thought it was a very, very important public health issue for people to stay home. Here's the governor, Andrew Cuomo.
If you were at one of those protests, I would, out of an abundance of caution, assume that you are infected. And tell people, when you go home, tell your parents, tell your sister, tell your brother, who may not be 25 years old and consider them a superhero, consider themselves a superhero. Tell people I may have been exposed and act like you may have been exposed. Because, by the way, you may have been exposed.
Oh, so you should all self-quarantine again. You should all self-quarantine. So why were you in favor of the protests and talking about how they were a good idea? And why are all these public health officials being like, well, the risk is pretty low? So the risk is, it's incredible. All these public health officials coming out and explaining that if you protest, the risk is low and you are solving a public health crisis. Incredible. Incredible. Truly, truly, we live in an age of wonders, people. An age of wonders. Now, speaking of this age of wonders, there's a new, miraculous attempt to cure the problem of, quote-unquote, systemic racism and police brutality. People on the left, they have an idea. The idea? Get rid of the police entirely. Defund them. Get rid of them. No more police. Great idea, guys. It's going to go amazing, I think. I think you should all run on this platform. All of you should run on the platform of get rid of the police. And we'll see how things go. Because it seems like the last week has kind of blown. It's been pretty terrible. We'll get to more of this in just 1 second. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, some Democrats, they have some really good ideas. Their ideas include things like defunding the police. So maybe you were under the misimpression that the last week was really terrible. Wrong. The looting. The protests were real. But the looting and the rioting were figments of your imagination. It no longer existed. If you listen to the media, if you focus on the rioting and the looting, you're excluding the message of the protesters. Doesn't matter that these protests very often devolved into violence. Doesn't matter that every single night, L.A. County, a county of 10 million people, has been locked down, and the same thing in New York City. None of that matters. The important thing is wokeness. And that means that we got to get rid of the cops. The cops, they're the problem. If the cops are the problem, the solution is no cops, which makes perfect sense. Because, you know, there are bad doctors out there. There are. There are doctors who misdiagnose and who overprescribe. There are doctors who perform bad surgeries. We should abolish doctors. No more doctors. If we had no more doctors, we wouldn't have the problems of people misprescribing. We wouldn't have misdiagnosis. Get rid of the doctors. You don't have to worry about it anymore. The same thing is true of plumbers. You know those plumbers who rip you off? Those plumbers who come in, they don't fix anything, they charge you $100 for the pleasure? The best way to get rid of the problem of bad plumbers is to just not have plumbers anymore. No more plumbers. Problem solved. Genius. Why has no one thought of this? Why? I mean, after the beautiful paradisical state of nature that we just saw over the last week, why has no one thought of getting rid of the police? It was great. The last week was great. Yeah, I mean, you were worried about all those burning cop cars on Melrose Avenue. You were worried about all those shop stores broken into. You were worried about the fact that, like, double-digit numbers of people were killed in these riots and looting. Well, that never happened. Last week's been awesome. Like, great and awesome. Get rid of the police. Eric Garcetti, idiot mayor of Los Angeles. He says it's time to defund the police. He's removing $150 million from their budget.
Our city, through our city administrative officer, identified $250 million in cuts so we could invest in jobs, in health, in education, and in healing. And that those dollars need to be focused on our black community here in Los Angeles, as well as communities of color and women and people who have been left behind for too long. And will this involve cuts? Yes, of course. To every department, including the police department, because we all have to be a part of this solution together.
Yeah. We have to be part of the solution. The solution is less law enforcement officers, fewer law enforcement officers on the streets. It's unbelievable. So my favorite part of this is that the same mayors who are like, yeah, the police are bad guys, they're like, could you please not leave Chicago businesses? Like, please. So Mayor Lori Lightfoot, another terrible mayor in Chicago, she is now pleading with retailers, do not leave Chicago. So after every Walmart in the tri-state area got looted, after every Walgreens across America had to board up its doors, like from my neighborhood to New York, Lori Lightfoot is like, guys, please don't leave these neighborhoods. Please. But here's Lori Lightfoot yesterday.
That they will come back. But I got a resounding, Mayor, this is our city, this is our home, from a lot of other retailers, and I would hope that Walmart would follow suit.
Well, she hopes that everybody will come back. I have a thing. Here's my idea. If you don't let people burn down stores, they never have to come back because they never leave. If you let people burn down stores, they're not going to reinvest. Nobody invests in building a store that is a very expensive proposition so that it can get looted once every 10 years. Nobody's going to do that. It's not going to be a thing. And if you get rid of the cops, you know what's not going to happen? Businesses deciding to invest their time and money and resources and employees in an area where the cops are not going to protect them. One of the preconditions to a free market economy, one of the preconditions to business investment is a system of law and order that protects private property. If you're not going to do it, ain't nobody going to invest in your neighborhood. White, black, or green, doesn't matter. You don't protect private property. I'm not investing there. No one's investing there. So good news is that Ilhan Omar is on board with defund the police. Ilhan Omar says that we should just figure out other ways of law enforcement. I look forward to other people figuring out. My favorite tweet, honestly, I can't remember who tweeted it yesterday. It was so good. A person on the left tweeted out. She was asked, so you want to get rid of the police, right? You want to dissolve the police. Is your answer to, like, what is your answer to then solving murders? You know, people getting killed. How do you hope to investigate and arrest the criminals? She said podcasters are doing it right now. You know how many podcasters are taking cold cases and finding the murderers? Podcasters will solve it. Just slow clap for that. Slow clap. Well done, everybody. As a podcaster myself, let me just say, we can do anything. We're incredible. Nothing. Can things get more stupid? I ask, but I know the answer. They can. They will. It says in Deuteronomy, each night you will go to sleep wishing it were morning, and each morning you'll wake up wishing it were the previous night. Well, when it comes to human stupidity, This is the reality. Each night, you'll go to sleep wishing, God, I wish it were just as stupid as it was this morning. And every morning, you'll wake up and you'll think, God, I only wish it were just as stupid as it was last night. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
I expected to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to maketheconnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
A nonprofit organization is focusing on immediate and critical needs that help protect our communities here at home and those around the world. We can all play a role in stopping this deadly virus. Get updates, learn how to protect your friends and family, and find out how to help. Go to cdcfoundation.org. That's cdcfoundation.org. Together, our impact is greater.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the CDC Foundation.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Our number is 855-236-3228, 855-236-3228. Golly, in California, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Golly.
Hello, Ben. How are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Fine, just fine. What I wanted to talk about, I was talking to some of my friends back in my country, and they said that they were kind of conspiratorial. And they said that once the, and I'm not sure if I really believe it, and I wanted your take on it, once the coronavirus didn't work out for everybody, then at least for in America, there it's not happening in Israel, but in my country, but they said that this was all planned, and I'm like, but that doesn't make sense, you know? What do you think about
that? So I don't think that the coronavirus was planned. I mean, I don't think that there was a plot in any way. I think the idea that people went overboard with the lockdowns is fairly well substantiated at this point. Virtually all the northern European countries have acknowledged as much. That doesn't mean the lockdowns weren't originally necessary based on the incomplete information we had. But it is fairly obvious that when all the public health experts of the United States apparently are now declaring that it is more important to protest en masse vague institutional racism than to stay away from each other and not give each other COVID, I can't really take seriously their pronouncements that you're killing grandma if you go to a restaurant. Like, it's impossible to take that seriously. By the way, in terms of the actual statistics, 1,000 people a day continue to die from COVID-19 in the United States. So it's not like the death has ceased. It's just that it has gone down radically in places like New York City. It's basically fairly even across places like Florida and California. You're not seeing major surges in deaths. So this is just going to become background noise at this point. It's just going to be an additional risk that people take in their lives. The part that's coordinated and that seems not great is the government response. The idea, however, that COVID-19 was either a deliberate plot or that the lockdowns originally were a deliberate plot wouldn't explain why all the European countries locked down as well. The question is why it lasted so long. And mostly the question is why, if it was not a plot in the first, like, they're either lying then or they're lying now. Either this thing was extremely dangerous throughout and it's still extremely dangerous now, and they're just lying because they don't give a crap about COVID-19 anymore. All they care about is protesting whatever social justice warrior cause of the day they are protesting, or this thing is not all that dangerous, and they are using the lockdowns as an excuse to lock down the economy. Like, this is where all of my faith in the public health experts begins to dissipate immediately. Golly, I appreciate the call. Stephen in Maryland, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Stephen.
Okay, how do I tell someone that institutional racism does not exist anymore? I've been countering this argument with using Asian population as a model minority compared to general population of black people. But the counter argument is that after Immigration National Act, Chinese people came flooding with degrees and education background, hence the disparity in education and income between Asian people and black people.
So that's not true. I mean, the idea that Asian people came to the United States with tremendous disparities in education pre-existing is not correct. I mean, by the way, it's also not correct with regard to, for example, West Indian black immigrants who come in with basically the same level of education as all other immigrants and are outperforming domestically born American blacks, economically speaking. So if you're talking about just differential minority statistics, there are a wide variety of reasons why certain groups outperform other groups. But suggesting that the only people who are coming into the country are rich Asian people who are well-educated and have college educations is obviously not true. I mean, that is statistically untrue on every available level. And as far as the question about, you know, combating the argument about institutional racism, the argument about institutional racism isn't an argument at all, because when you ask somebody, okay, can you define institutional racism? Which institution are we talking about? What are the rules and who are the racists? They immediately go, no, 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 you don't understand. Just racism out there. Because if there weren't racism, would there really be this disparity? And the answer is that there's a disparity between all sorts of groups. There are disparities between men and women. There are disparities between old and young. There are disparities between blacks and whites and between whites and Asians, by the way. There are disparities between Asians and Latinos. None of this means that discrimination is necessarily the reason for the disparity. The If you're going to accuse somebody or something of racism, you actually have to define your terms. And one of the things that drives me up a damned wall is the idea that you don't have to define the term so long as you invoke the right slogan. That drives me up a wall. I am very meticulous about defining my terms. There's a reason I, on the show, typically distinguish between liberals, people who disagree with me on taxes and spending, and leftists, people who actually want to shut down debate. There's a reason why I try to be as meticulous as I possibly can be in legal language. Right? I try to define all of the information before you so that you know exactly what I'm talking about. So instead of repeating like the media do, for example, on autopsy reports, if it said, oh, well, it says homicide on the autopsy report. Yeah, that doesn't mean it was a murder. There are various classifications. Right? I try to be meticulous in my language. Maybe it comes from legal training. But I cannot think of something that is less meticulous in definition than institutional or systemic racism. People just refuse to identify it. So please explain to me, what do you mean by this? If you mean miasmatic race, it just exists out there. If you mean that deep in the human heart, there's racism, and that people who are not trained not to be racist are just racist. But you can't name for me what is the racist thing they are doing or the racist policy they are proposing. If you can't explain to me why they're a racist, then forget it. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. If you want, because when you do point to an instance of racism, I am the first one on the line going, yes, that looks like an incident of racism. I've talked on the show about how the Ahmaud Arbery killing, given new evidence that the guy was standing over the body, apparently yelling the N-word, that's an instance of racism. It's undeniable. If that evidence is correct, if you're talking about the killing of George Floyd, it is perfectly not obvious that is an instance of racism as opposed to just plain police brutality. Right? The fact that people want to attribute to broad things, broad accusations, and then use those broad accusations to pursue extraordinarily specific attacks on individuals without evidence is astonishing to me. So what they'll do is you'll say, am I a racist? They'll say, no, I have no evidence that you're racist. But systemic racism does exist. And because systemic racism exists, you might be a racist. Right? What they do is that they'll say that they can't provide evidence you are a racist, but they know that racism is out there. And if racism is out there, it must be in your heart. And that means that even if they can't show you're a racist because it's out there, it's in here. Well, that's not an argument. That's an emotional appeal, and it's an insult. And I don't go along with emotional appeals and insults. So if somebody wants to get specific so we can agree on things, that would be very, very useful. I'm not going to agree to the general proposition that Americans broadly writ hate black people or don't care about black people. It's not true. I'm not going to agree to the general proposition that America broadly writ pursues racist policy. It is not true. The amount of corrective policy undertaken by the federal and state governments on racial issues is exorbitant and extraordinary and great. Mostly. I mean, some of it is like affirmative action is bad policy, but it is obviously directed at so-called restorative justice. So injustice today to correct an injustice of the past. I don't like that kind of policy. But the idea that systemic racism, you just get to – it's a get-out-of-jail-free card when you make an argument. The argument doesn't require any evidence. It doesn't require any specificity. All it requires is you just saying systemic racism, and you're off scot-free. And then if you say, well, I need evidence, they'll go, well, you haven't experienced it. You haven't experienced it. Yeah, well, you haven't experienced my life either. Nobody's experienced anybody else's life. But the premise of a republic is that you don't have to actually be the other person in order to have a conversation with the other person about appropriate policy. If you have to be the other person, that's not a republic. Now you're just talking about people beating each other with clubs. I appreciate the call, Stephen. I mean, I get passionate about this because it's annoying and it's insane and it's illogical and it's stupid and it's backwards and it's counterproductive. All of those things. All of those things. Okay, we're going to get to more of your calls in just a moment at 855-236-3228. First, with everything going on right now, a lot of people are asking if it's possible to buy life insurance at all. The short answer is yes, you can buy life insurance during a pandemic. You can. You just have to head on over to policygenius.com. As an insurance marketplace, Policy Genius is in contact with the life insurance companies on their platform every single day. They are keeping track of all the changes in the market so you don't have to. That means they get you covered quickly for the best price. Here's how it works. Policy Genius compares quotes from the top life insurance companies all in one place. It takes just a few minutes to compare all of those quotes. That doesn't just save a lot of legwork. You could save $1,500 or more a year by using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. Once you apply, the Policy Genius team will handle all the paperwork and the red tape for free. So if you hit any speed bumps during the application process, they will be there to take care of everything. If you're one of the many people looking to buy life insurance right now, but you're not sure where to start, head on over to policygenius.com. Again, that's policygenius.com. Policy Genius will find you the best rate, handle the process completely. They'll get you and your family protected, hopefully give you one less thing to worry about. Be a responsible adult human being. Make sure that your family is taken care of. Check them out at policygenius.com. Again, that is policygenius.com. Dr. Paul in Evansville, Indiana. You're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Dr. Paul.
Hello. Yes, I got a question. When does personal responsibility come to play with George Floyd?
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, the man resisted arrest. He didn't follow command, had to be extricated out of a car, physically a very large human being. Who escalated the confrontation between him and the police? I mean, normal person, they get stopped and say, hey, you passed a phony bill. What would you do? You wouldn't do that. You would say, oh, my God. You know what? I'm so sorry. Here, let me make this right. Let me correct whatever's going on. Let's figure out how I got this phony bill. Who passed it to me? But he didn't do any of those things.
Okay, so Paul, here's my take on this. Bad behavior by the suspect in this case, which is true. I mean, he did not comply with the arrest. That still does not justify police brutality, meaning that he was not resisting under the Minneapolis Code of Conduct for the police. I've actually looked it up. You're allowed to use a certain type of neck hold, but only if the suspect is actively resisting, not passively resisting. So if you're lying on the ground and somebody puts a knee to your neck, that is not allowed under the Minneapolis Police Code of Conduct. That does not mean that George Floyd was acting as some sort of hero here. He was absolutely not. I mean, he was literally being arrested for passing phony bills, and they found fentanyl in his system, which, according to the autopsy, contributed to his death. That's why I'm saying that I think that Chauvin is going to have an interesting legal case in terms of whether he was even the proximate cause of George Floyd's death. I think there's a good case for assault. I think that there is a fairly, you know, shaky case for the idea that he either purposefully murdered him or that he committed manslaughter, depending on which autopsy you trust. There are two separate autopsies. But two things can be true at once. George Floyd could be a criminal. He was acting in criminal fashion, apparently. And also, you don't get to put your knee on the neck of a criminal who is passively resisting for 8 minutes while he says, I can't breathe. Those two things can both be true at the same time.
He wasn't, resisting. I mean, the guy wouldn't go into the vehicle. I mean,
yes, that's called passive resistance. Active resistance is you're attempting to fight the cops. Passive resistance is you won't get in the car. Paul, I appreciate the call. But again, I think we have to distinguish these things because cops are dealing with suspects who are not complying with their orders all the time. That doesn't mean they get to use whatever level of force they feel is necessary, despite the fact the person is saying they can't breathe for 8 long minutes, right? That's never a good thing. Lee in Houston, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Lee.
Yes. Given everything that's happened in Minneapolis and around the United States, from a legal sense, what kind of odds do you think that the trial will actually be held in Minneapolis? And if not, maybe a procedural follow-up on this is, well, then what do you think it would be held?
So it's very difficult to transfer cases outside of the district in which they were committed without the prosecution agreeing to it. So famously, the O.J. Simpson case was moved from Brentwood to downtown L.A. with the prosecution agreeing, which was obviously an idiotic move. But could this thing be transferred to another district? That's possible. Would it be transferred outside of, you know, surrounding districts? Probably not. It's such a highly publicized case that it is very difficult to think of a place he could get an impartial jury. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens. As far as upping the charges to second degree, you know, I think that that's a large-scale mistake from the law that I've read. It seems to me that suggesting that there was intention to kill George Floyd is not obvious at all in this case. And it's opening the door to Chauvin getting off. Like, you actually want to charge people with the things that you can actually convict them of. You don't want to overcharge them because then they get off. So I'm kind of shocked, actually, that Ellison, like the fact that he brought charges against the other officers for aiding and abetting, I think that's a stretch. I think they're going to have a hard time convicting on that. That doesn't mean those guys should be police officers ever again. It doesn't mean they shouldn't be fired. But the idea that they can be prosecuted for aiding and abetting a murder or aiding and abetting a manslaughter because they were standing there and not actively aiding and abetting and in some cases actively questioning, that's going to be – I think it's going to be a tough lift for the prosecutors. And again, that is not to morally justify anything that happened there. That's just pointing out that there is a difference between things you object to and things that people go to jail for. There's a big difference between things that are immoral and crimes that can be proved.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Lee, I appreciate the call. Marcos in Atlanta, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Marcos.
Hi, Ben. Huge fan. Thanks for taking me on the call today. My question is, you did a great breakdown on the Hamad case before there was evidence of racism. You broke down that case step by step by step. You said, hey, this is more of an example of a citizen's arrest gone wrong before it's an example of racism at that time. More evidence came out, and then that wasn't the case. But with the Floyd case today, what is there any evidence of racism, or is this rather another example of 100% media coverage of something that could be racism? You know, was
that's exactly right. No, you're exactly right. This has been my main objection, is the immediate jump from this is a case of police brutality, too. It's obviously racism, because all police brutality that has black people as the victim is racism. There's no evidence to prove that. And then to jump from that to all of America is guilty for it is an even larger jump. And yet the media makes that jump super fast. I mean, instantaneously. We go from a bad tape of a white officer putting his knee on the neck of a black suspect to this is a racist incident to America is guilty for the racist incident and everybody needs to atone. And, like, I'm not willing to go along with either of those steps. When you show me that Chauvin has a history of racism or that he was bragging about killing a black guy or some piece of evidence that demonstrates that this was racially driven, not just a bad incident of police brutality, I'm willing to go along with it. As I've been saying for the last 2 days, the Arbery case, new piece of evidence. Apparently the guy was shouting the N.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM online and AM 1460. It's time. Businesses are starting to reopen, and we need to support our local economy. We would like to thank our sponsors that supported our station throughout this event. As we move forward, we'd like to remind our listeners to support local businesses and see them thrive again. You can make that happen by dining at your favorite restaurant and shopping at your favorite store. They have been there for us. Now it's time for us to be there for them. Shop local.
Told that America is filled with apparently brutal racists all over the place looking to kill black men who don't value the lives of black men. Like, a shred of evidence, like one singular shred of evidence would be just awesome at this point, but nobody seems willing to provide it. Marcos, I appreciate the call. We'll take more of your calls at 855-236-3228 coming up. That would be 855-236-3228. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Our number 855-236-3228. 855-236-3228. Jake in Florida, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Jake.
Hey, Ben. To quote one of your favorite movies, fear leads to anger, anger leads to hate, and hate leads to suffering. I can't help but think that a lot of the hatred for police is born out of fear, mainly that corrupt police officers and prosecutors will wrongly imprison innocent individuals just to solve a case. And there's lots of Netflix specials about this. So what I was thinking is, do you think that a localized policy mandating that students be part, that students learn the Constitution and the various individual rights included would help reduce the fear of the police? I think in a Sunday special you had a guest mention that this used to be a part of most state curriculums, and now it's not. I was wondering if you knew why that was.
Yeah, I mean, obviously people should be taught their constitutional rights, and they should also be taught that the police are held to a standard with regard to this sort of stuff. Yeah, the media's coverage, basically, the media is a is if you've ever seen the movie Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, you're making movie references. There's a movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. He plays a sociopathic news photographer who basically makes a lot of money going around and taking pictures of car accidents. And then he gets to the point where he's like, you know what would be great? I'm just going to stage bad things happening. I'm going to actually be involved in the bad things happening, and then I'm just going to take pictures of the bad things happening. I can make an awful lot of money that way. And that's basically the media. The media run around. They don't actually attempt to do any serious analysis. They don't look at the data. They don't look at trend lines. All they do is they just find a hotspot. They cover the hotspot, and then they turn it into a conflagration. And then they cover the conflagration. And it's egregious. I mean, it's truly egregious. People think that police interactions are routinely on the order of George Floyd when there are 375 million police interactions per year in the United States. 375 million. There were last year in 2019, according to the Washington Post, 9 unarmed black men shot by the police. And I believe the last I checked, 6 of them were fleeing from the police at the time. So 3 unarmed black men shot by police without fleeing from the police at the same time. And the media are covering this as though every day in America, it's a danger on an existential level to be black in the United States. It's just, it's wrong and it's stupid. Yes, it would be great if people learned about the Constitution. It would be great if people learned about the history of the civil rights movement. It would be great if people learned that all the stuff that they want to be illegal is already illegal. It's already illegal. Like, what are the policy changes people are seeking? And if you want to make a policy change, let's discuss it. But nobody's actually talking about policy, because then we might agree. And the purpose is for us to not agree. The purpose is to create a system by which you can castigate all your political enemies as unwoke and therefore fitting of atonement. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I appreciate the call. Kim in South Georgia, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Kim.
Yes, sir. I feel like I have to explain myself. I'm from South Georgia. Yes, I do have a southern drawl. I have native heritage. I've been called the N-word up until we segregated when I was in eighth grade. But I've been a registered nurse for 45 and a half years, and I have been balked all my life, but I have learned to treat everybody like I would my family. But my question to you is, you see CNN, ABC, NBC, media, and I know the First Amendment right gives them free speech, but where are we going to hold them accountable for telling the truth and not twisting the narrative?
Yeah, Kim, I mean, the media have been egregious in their coverage. They're egregious in their coverage today. They took President Trump so wildly out of context to imply he wasn't taking George Floyd seriously. It was amazing. And you're right. I mean, even the coverage of medical issues. So you're a registered nurse. You've been treating everybody the same for 40 years. You've been treating everybody as you would a member of your own family. According to the media, the reason that black people are dying of COVID-19 at a higher rate than white people is because of implicit racism in the American health system. It's just nonsense. It's just nonsense. That is not correct. The reason that black people are dying at a higher rate than white people is the same reason that black people are dying at a higher rate than white people in Great Britain and in every other European country. Namely, there are differentials in diagnosis with regard to obesity and diabetes and other health underlying health conditions. But yeah, again, the media are, you're right, the media are irresponsible and they are pushing an agenda, and it's disgusting. I think people see through it, by the way. I think that the level of trust that Americans have in the media has basically been destroyed, and it should be. They deserve no trust at this point, none. They just spent 3 months telling us that we were going to die if we went outside, and then the minute that you were outside shouting about George Floyd and shouting about systemic American racism, it turns out that all you have to do to kill COVID-19 is shout about systemic racism. Incredible. Incredible. Immunity has been granted. Appreciate the call, Kim. Alrighty. But coming up, we're going to bring you all the latest on the entire situation. The New York Times is now apologizing for running op-eds. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostra. After a week of riots, violence, burning, and looting, some good news Friday morning. The U.S. unemployment rate fell to 13.3% in May, and 2.5 million jobs were added. It was a surprisingly positive reading in the midst of a recession that's paralyzed the economy and depressed the job market in the wake of the viral pandemic. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow expects even better job numbers this month.
At May 12th, for the week the survey was taken, a little less than 50% of small businesses had reopened. According to the Chamber of Commerce, the most recent number in late May, early June, 79% of small business have reopened. So we're going to see more continued progress.
The phrase Black Lives Matter now painted in enormous yellow letters on the Washington, D.C. street leading to the White House. Mayor Muriel Bowser authorized the paint job to send a message of support and solidarity to Americans outraged over the killing of George Floyd by police in Minneapolis. The mayor verbally clashed with Bowser. The mayor, that is, verbally clashed with the Trump administration over the handling of the protests. Brexit's deadline is approaching, and a future deal between the European Union and the UK talks ended Friday.
Following 4 days of video discussion between two officials from the two teams of negotiators, the sides remained at loggerheads on many topics, including on regulations for businesses. The UK left the political institutions of the EU on January 31st, but remains inside the EU's tariffs-free single market and customs union until the end of the year. That so-called transition period can be extended by 2 years to allow more time for a satisfying compromise, yet a request to do so has to be made by July 1st. Prime Minister Boris Yeltsin has repeatedly said he won't be asking for a delay. Bernie Bennett reporting.
You can also check out more news, and you can read the best analysis both at townhall.com.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-880-7474. That's 1-800-880-7474. Or go to SelectQuote.com. That's 1-800-880-7474.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
The NHL continues to mold its plans for a possible return to action.
The National Hockey League has announced that every playoff series will be a best-of-seven format after the initial qualifying round, which will be best-of-five, and teams will be reseeded throughout the tournament if the league is able to return with its 2014 plan later this summer. The NHL has not announced the timeline for the resumption of games. Players preferred reseeding throughout the playoffs as a means of fairness, though the league likes the brackets that have been in place since 2014. The top four teams in the Eastern and Western Conferences will play separate round-robin tournaments to determine seeding. I'm Tom Merriam.
More than half of the 32 NFL teams did not have coaching staffs at facilities Friday, even though the league says approved such returns where local governments allow them. Clubs with coaches in place were the Super Bowl champion Chiefs, Green Bay Packers, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, among others. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. There have been hacking attempts against both the Democratic and Republican presidential campaigns.
Google says these are state-backed hackers who've tried to target the campaigns of both President Donald Trump and former Vice President Joe Biden. Its threat analysis group says there's no evidence that the phishing attempts were successful. It says a Chinese group known as Hurricane Panda targeted staffers on President Trump's campaign, while it was an Iranian outfit known as Charming Kitten that tried to breach the computer accounts of Joe Biden's campaign workers. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Pacific Gas and Electric's proposal to pay $25.5 billion for a series of deadly Northern California wildfires ignited by its equipment is facing a final barrage of resistance from critics. PG&E needs to close the deal no later than June 30th this year. Check out more on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This is Reading Electric Utility Director Dan Beans. REU is proud to be part of the economic relief to our customers during this difficult time. All REU customers are receiving $250 in credits on their City of Reading utility accounts. In the near future, commercial customers will have the ability to make monthly payments on their outstanding utility account balance for up to 24 months with no interest. REU and the Chamber of Commerce are proud to work together to assist commercial customers as we move forward. Visit readingchamber.com or cityofreading.org for more information or questions related to this important local effort.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Pacific Justice Institute is pleased to announce the opening of its first office on the East Coast. You see, the office is in the New York City suburb of White Plains and will also serve New Jersey. Folks, the number of religious liberty requests for help from New York and New Jersey have greatly increased.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
They're yelling slogans that people on the left really love. If they do that, then it's a public health good for you to be out spitting on each other, apparently. So we'll ask Dr. McCary whether that is backed by the available data and science, because science, we'll get to that in just a little bit. First, let's talk about the fact that nobody actually knows what exactly is the goal of the protesters right now. What I mean by that is there's a lot of conflicting talk about what exactly protesters want to see in terms of policy. Some of them are like, get rid of the police. But nobody wants to do that. Others are like, what if we did something about qualified immunity? But the problem is everybody agrees with that, and then you're not protesting anybody, because everybody is kind of like up for that. So then it comes down to, okay, what they're actually doing is they are pushing a message. That's what protests do, after all. They push a message. If you're a pro-life protester, you're pushing a message that the unborn should be protected and that unborn life matters. And if you're a Black Lives Matters protester, then you are pushing the message that Black Lives Matter. But you're not just pushing that message, because again, that's uncontroversial. See, unborn lives matter is a controversial statement because a lot of people don't believe that. But Black Lives Matter is a pretty uncontroversial statement because everybody believes that Black Lives Matter. So what exactly is the rest of the message? Well, the rest of the message is, and America is systemically racist and does not recognize that Black Lives Matter. And that part is not true. And that's why when you see people kneeling, taking a knee for the notion that America is deeply racist, endemically racist, irredeemably racist, horrible, rooted in slavery, rooted in cruelty, I'm not up for that. Because it's nonsense. And when someone says to you systemic racism, your first response should be, what do you mean by that? Right? Just ask for a clarification. Because the vaguer the response, the more you know that they don't actually have evidence to support what they're talking about. See, if somebody asked me for an example of anti-Semitism, I would either point to a specific instance or to the hate crime statistics in the United States. Or I would point to exact behavior by exact people. I wouldn't say that there is just miasmatic anti-Semitism threatening Jews. I would name you the groups that are actually doing it, or the people who are actually doing it, or the messages that I think are conveying it. But if you just say systemic racism, you never have to establish any of those things. You can be completely anti-specific. In fact, if someone asks you for specificity, you just say, well, I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm not going to explain it. If you don't understand what systemic racism is, I'm just not going to explain it to you. Well, then you don't mean anything by it. I can take away from that you don't mean anything by it. And I am not going to trust people explaining to me that America is racist, who also happen to be the worst race baiters in America. Take, for example, our good friend Al Sharpton. So Al McSharpton has been leading the way here. He was called into George Floyd's memorial, and he suggested at George Floyd's memorial that black people in America are endemically victimized by white people in America. Now, I don't think that Al Sharpton gets to make this claim because he is literally rich and famous for race baiting. He got famous lying about Tawana Brawley being raped, and then he helped, in my opinion, to incite a riot in Crown Heights in 1991 that ended with the murder of an Orthodox Jew. And then, in my opinion, he also helped incite the burning down of a mini mall that ended with the death of a minority person in 1996 at Freddy's Fashion Mart. All of that because he's a rabid anti-Semite. His main bag in life has been going around. He's a bag man. He goes around and he demands that Macy's apologize for its racism by giving a donation to his front group. That is basically Al Sharpton's shtick. And he's being trotted out as the representative of black America, which is just nonsense. I don't know that many black Americans who think of Al Sharpton as their leader in any real way, who's never elected to anything. Anyway, here's Al Sharpton suggesting that the real message of BLM is that just as George Floyd died with a white man's knee on his neck, so too black Americans everywhere are being victimized with white America's knee to the neck.
Ever since 401 years ago, the reason we could never be who we wanted and dreamed of being is you kept your knee on our neck. We were smarter than the underfunded schools you put us in, but you had your knee on our neck. We could run corporations and not hustle in the street, but you had your knee on our neck.
Okay, so I have a question. Which policies is he specifically referring to now that represent the knee on the neck? Which ones? Which are the specific policies he's the answer is he's not referring to any of those policies. And he's just saying that anytime there's an inequality, that is due to America being evil. That is the idea. Now, there are certain people who are willing to go along with this lie. There are certain people who are willing to go along with the lie that American law is still racist, that Americans by and large are racist, that Americans who are white endemically suffer from white privilege. That is just a part of being a white person, is that you have white privilege and that you are secretly anti-black. There's an entire column in the New York Times titled "Anti-Blackness Killed George Floyd, Not Racism," because just by virtue of being white, you are anti-black, according to this columnist, who is an African-American studies professor, of course. Bill de Blasio has gone along with this, the mayor of New York. It hasn't helped him one iota, because it turns out that admitting your own white privilege really just means you admitting that you believe that you are a bad person, and everybody else taking that for granted. So Bill de Blasio does the whole white people need to really think about how they are responsible for George Floyd's death, even though you didn't do it, Bill de Blasio didn't do it, I didn't do it, nobody you know did it. Right? Nobody you know did it, unless you are a member of the family of the officers involved. Nobody. And even then, you're not responsible. Right? This is the people who did it are the people who did it. But Bill de Blasio has taken on the mantle of, I speak for white America. I'm here to speak for white America, taking responsibility for all inequality and also all instances of individual cruelty and brutality and racism in the United States. What did that earn him? He got booed at the vigil for George Floyd. So clearly, he was not absolved of his sin, was he? Here was de Blasio getting booed, which is poetic justice for the man.
Let us welcome, with respect, the mayor of New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio, and First Lady Sha'Carri McRae. Again, we say respect. We said respect. Say it with me. Respect. 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 Respect.
So everybody was laughing when de Blasio was getting booed, and then the spokesperson was like, yeah, it's not a good look for us to boo de Blasio since he's the one acknowledging his white privilege. And then everybody was supposed to shout respect. Very, very wonderful. Very, very smart by Bill de Blasio. It turns out that when you kneel out of some aspect of submission to a lying narrative, there is no upside. Speaking of which, Drew Brees said something utterly uncontroversial the other day, like totally uncontroversial. Kneeling for the American flag is bad, and kneeling for the national anthem is bad. Here's what Drew Brees said. It got him in all sorts of trouble. Can you identify the flaw in what Drew Brees is saying? Because I can't, the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place. So every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about.
Okay, well, that obviously is bad. How dare he say good things about the American flag? Well, then he had to apologize. He put out an apology yesterday. He put out another apology today. It was never enough. Because once you apologize for saying an utterly uncontroversial thing like America is a wonderful place and a free place and a place where we fight discrimination and where discrimination is banned by law, anytime you say anything like that, if you apologize for stuff like that, if you think that you get forgiveness, wrongo. You knelt and now Joffrey will take your head. Here is Shannon Sharp explaining that he's never going to give any level of respect to Drew Brees for having once defended the American flag.
Drew Brees still doesn't seem to get it. Now, he issued an apology, Skip, but it's meaningless because the guys know that he spoke his heart the very first time around.
Correct.
Now, I don't know I don't know what Drew's going to do, but he probably should just go ahead and retire now. It will never be the same. What he said, they're going to like, oh, yeah, you know. Nope. They will never look at him the same because he spoke his heart and Skip, and what he said, it wasn't what he said, it's how he said it. He was defiant. I will never. Mm-hmm. Respect the man.
He was defiant. You see, it was the attitude of actually defending the flag that was the problem. Fairly incredible stuff. So well done, everyone. The woke culture has won. They've won, unless you fight back, right? Unless you refuse to be cowed by this sort of nonsense. And as we'll see, the woke culture has certainly won inside the New York Times. Now, there was a battle inside the New York Times. There were some people inside the New York Times who were like, you know, we should probably every so often publish an opinion that descends from the woke narrative. And then there were the woke. And the woke at the New York Times are like, nope, never, not doing it. You publish an opinion we don't like, and we will burn you down. We will burn you down publicly. We will come after you. Because, let's be real, we have to stop fascists by never publishing things we ever like, that we don't like. That was an actual column by Michelle Goldberg today. Michelle Goldberg over at the New York Times is very, very upset that Tom Cotton, the senator from Arkansas, that Tom Cotton had pumped, he pushed a piece suggesting that the military might have to be used against rioters and looters. Okay, and that piece was approved of by like 60% of Americans. 60% of Americans think that if you have to use the military to quell riots, you do it. Okay, that piece was so bad, so intensely bad, that people at the New York Times started doing the woke nonsense where they repeat each other's sloganeering. So a bunch of different New York Times woke staffers started tweeting out, this is a threat to black lives at the New York Times, which, of course, it is not. It is an opinion backed by 60% of Americans. And unless you seek to throw a Molotov cocktail at a cop car or break into a Foot Locker, it doesn't affect you. Hey, also, it has been used before, the Insurrection Act. Michelle Goldberg, being but one of the many idiots over at the New York Times, she has an entire piece at the New York Times today called Tom Cotton's Fascist Op-Ed. Her suggestion is that we should never publish opinions she doesn't like. So she says we should definitely not run these pieces. She says we need to stop. We need to let him. We can report on what he says, but we should certainly not allow, quote unquote, fascists to have space. It's hilarious. She says in her piece, many people at the Times, including several in the opinion department, reacted to the Cotton op-ed by tweeting, running this puts all black people in danger, including New York Times staff members. That took courage. Ah, it was courage to tweet out to your woke colleagues. The danger my colleagues have tweeted about is real. The value of airing Cotton's arguments has to be weighed against the message the Times sends. Everyone agrees the Times draws those boundaries. The question is where. She says that we never should have published this thing. So, you know what? Tom Cotton's a fascist, but I'm not a fascist for saying we should never publish opinions I don't like. By the way, you know how that op-ed got in the New York Times? Tom Cotton was solicited for it by the New York Times. The New York Times asked him to write the piece, and then he did. And then they said, okay, we're pulling it down. They still have not pulled down the op-ed, so far as I'm aware. They said that we made fact-checking mistakes, which, of course, is not true. Right? They've said openly that we've examined the piece. This is Eileen Murphy. And the process leading up to its publication. This review made clear that a rushed editorial process led to the publication of an op-ed that did not meet our standards. As a result, we're planning to examine both short-term and long-term changes to include expanding our fact-checking operation and reducing the number of op-eds we publish. Literally, there was nothing in the piece that they have retracted. They have not identified the error. But doesn't matter. More than 800 staff members signed a letter protesting its publication. Ooh, well, if the staff is mad, you got to listen to them. You know what happens to staff who say things to me, the boss, about what we publish in the newspaper that I disagree with them about? I ignore them because they're not the boss. They don't get put aside. I run a publication. End of story. And you know what I would do if they then went on Twitter and decided to criticize our handling of our op-eds over at Daily Wire? I would fire them. Because guess what? They're employees of my company. I do not owe them employment. But the woke interns over at the New York Times run the place. They honestly, they might as well just hand over the place to Nicole Hannah-Jones, the editor of the 1619 Project. By the way, I love that we didn't fact-check Tom Cotton, but we did fact-check Nicole Hannah-Jones. Is pretty hilarious, considering Nicole Hannah-Jones just continues to pump out absolute fiction about American history over and over. Such fiction that eminent historians have said it's just nonsense. I mean, 3 days ago, she suggested the Second Amendment was created to hurt black people, which is patently insane. But fact-checking of the New York Times is very important. The newspaper scheduled a town hall meeting for Friday to allow employees to express their concerns to company leaders, including A.G. Sulzberger, the publisher, Dean Baquette, the executive editor, and Mr. Bennett, the editorial page editor. Bennett said in a video meeting he had not read Cotton's essays before it was published. And then Sulzberg sent an email backing the op-ed's publication, but saying that he was drawing a new tone. He said that this was a rushed editorial process. He said, we're going to reduce the likelihood of something like this happening again. Then they blamed Adam Rubinstein, an editor in the opinion section. Blame a Jew. Find a Jew. Blame him. Do it. Over at the New York Times. Well done. And then apparently they went after Barry Weiss also, because Barry Weiss pointed out that the woke have taken over the newspaper. So it's time to criticize Barry Weiss and suggest that Barry Weiss is the problem. It turns out all of those jackwagons from college were suggesting that you needed to be destroyed as a human being if you disagreed with them, that you had microaggressed them, you had committed violence against them. It turns out that the world didn't change them. They are changing the world in an extraordinarily negative ways. The New York Times basically just exposed itself to be Slate today, which is not a tremendous loss to the world. Pretty spectacular stuff. Really well done all around. Well done all around. All righty, coming up, we're going to talk about Joe Biden, because it turns out the woke brigade is turning on Joe Biden. He doesn't have enough black staffers, guys. He doesn't have enough black staffers. Exciting stuff. We'll talk about that in just one moment. First, let's talk about the fact that your online activity is not being protected right now unless you are using ExpressVPN. It is the best of all VPNs. Why do you need a VPN? Well, there are people trying to steal your credit card data. There are people who are trying to steal your just general online data and then use it to monetize. There are lots of people out there who would love nothing better than to grab hold of your online data and use it against you. You probably don't have access to your IT department right this very instant, and that's why you need ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN is super easy. They don't log your data. They don't sell your data. They developed a technology called Trusted Server that makes it impossible for their servers to log any of your info. ExpressVPN won't slow your computer. It's easy to install. One click and you're protected. Go check them out right now. Protect the VPN I use and trust. Use my link at expressvpn.com/Ben today. Get an extra 3 months for free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/Ben. Visit expressvpn.com/Ben to learn more. Again, go check them out right now. expressvpn.com/Ben. Protect your online activity today. The last thing you want is people using the data on your computer. Go check them out right now. expressvpn.com/Ben. That is expressvpn.com/Ben. expressvpn.com/Ben. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to get into the attacks on Joe Biden. Apparently, he's a white guy, and people are just discovering this. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives and restore sight and health for many more. Sign up right now online as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, Joe Biden, right now he is performing his woke rituals, right? He is suggesting that he's going to select a black female vice president, which of course will appease approximately nobody because obviously once you have acknowledged that America is systemically racist and you are an 80-year-old white guy who's been in government for half your life, literally half your life, more than half your life. He was elected to Senate when he was 30, I believe, 29. He wasn't even eligible until he actually sat. So, Joe Biden is a longtime white person and a longtime person who has done things that are not wonderful on criminal justice reform, for example. Well, now his staffers are going, oh, you know what? That guy's white. Oh, he's white, huh? According to the New York Times, some Democrats worry about the whiteness of Biden's inner circle. It's not just that he's white. People around him are white. Nearly 5 years ago today, Joseph Biden gathered his closest advisors to decide whether to run for president in 2016. This is a final judgment meeting. It was his innermost circle. Everyone was white. Today, as Mr. Biden makes his third bid for the presidency, his campaign manager is white. His chief strategist is white. His three chiefs of staff as VP, all still key advisors. And four of the five people who have been deputy campaign managers are white, as are the leaders of his economic team. Biden won the 2020 Democratic primary on the strength of a multiracial political coalition anchored by black voters. But while some black advisors have cracked Biden's upper echelon and his team is racing to expand, the people setting strategy will still skew heavily white, with limited Latino and even less Asian American representation. The fear, even among allies, is that a lack of diverse viewpoints in Mr. Biden's brain trust could come with a long-term cost. A misinterpretation that boiling anger at Trump among black and Latino voters equates to excitement for Biden. Insufficient outreach to minority groups. And perhaps most worrisome, the possibility that Biden's team would take for granted his strength with black voters in the primaries would repeat itself in November, a complaint lodged against Hillary Clinton 4 years ago. Wow. I can't believe that they realize he's an old white guy. That's crazy. And by the way, it is true that he is taking black voters for granted, right? I mean, he went on Charlemagne the God and said, you ain't black if you don't vote for Joe Biden, which is a pretty incredible statement. He then apologized for it, but he didn't really mean it, obviously. Privately, the Biden campaign leadership has emphasized to Democratic leaders it's broadening its upper ranks, including two new senior advisors who are people of color, and the formation of a new coalitions department, the affirmative action inside the Biden campaign to please various constituencies. More hires are coming. The campaign is sifting through a list of 100 Latinos recommended for jobs. Could you say he has a binder of Latinos? Could you say that? I'm old enough to remember when Mitt Romney said that he was attempting to recruit women because he had a binder of women. And people were like, oh, a binder of women. And I was like, wait, hold up. Isn't he saying that he wants to recruit women? Isn't that good? Like, no, no, no. He said binder. Well, now they've got a flip book over of Latino people over at the Biden HQ. That's a good thing. Very, very solid stuff. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is labeling 10 to 15% of Americans just bad human beings, which is always very exciting. It's always exciting when you see people just label broad swaths of Americans terrible human beings. Here was Vice President Biden with Don Cheadle and Ryan Johnson talking about these 10 to 15% of Americans who apparently are endemically evil.
It's about the attitude of the country. Do we want our kids? Do we really think this is as good as we can be as a nation? I don't think the vast majority of people think that. There are probably anywhere from 10 to 15% of the people out there that are just not very good people. But that's not who we are. The vast majority of people are decent. We have to appeal to that, and we have to unite people. Bring them together.
Seriously, I have a question. If he believes that, if he believes the vast majority of people are decent, then what the hell is he talking about systemic American racism and broader white privilege? I mean, according to him, 90% of Americans are decent and agree with him. So wouldn't that imply that we don't actually have a massive evil population who don't care about black people? The hypocrisy knows no bounds. Already coming up, Dr. Marty McCary joins us to explain whether or not COVID-19 is solved by wokeness. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premie is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579. Or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Annuities and holding them full term.
I was in the hospital with my son for 18 months.
When he got injured, I knew I had to be strong. I just remember rushing into his room and giving him a big hug and letting him know I was there.
These veterans and families are just a few of the heroes we serve at Homes for Our Troops. We build specially adapted custom homes with features like wheelchair access and automatic door openers that allow them to focus on their recovery and family.
This house is freedom.
It's hope. It's a new beginning.
Visit HFOTUSA.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Joining us on the line is Dr. Marty Makary, health policy advisor to President Trump, editor-in-chief of MedPage Today, surgeon, professor of public health policy at Johns Hopkins, and author of The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. Dr. Makary, good to speak with you again.
Good to be with you, Ben.
So I have one very obvious opening question. Is it true that wokeness cures coronavirus? Because I've been informed by public health experts, many of them online, that protesting publicly is not only fine, but very, very good, actually, because you are fighting the public health crisis of racism when you protest. And it doesn't matter that you're in very close contact with people and screaming in very close contact with people, which I was informed not but 5 minutes ago that this is the best way to transmit coronavirus, that, in fact, churches were a good place to transmit coronavirus because people were singing and shouting in close proximity with one another. And I was also informed that anti-lockdown protests were incredibly dangerous if people didn't wear masks and stood very close to one another. But if you're protesting for the right cause, then apparently that kills coronavirus. I wish we had discovered this like a few months ago. We could have saved 100,000 lives this way. So here's the question. Is protesting en masse now okay when it was not okay a few weeks ago? Has something magically changed about the virus that I am not aware of?
Well, you could probably not design a better vector of transmission than some of the protests that are going on in close proximity. Now, you also see protesters wearing masks and trying to use some good precautions and distancing. But look, the perfect vector for this virus is mass gatherings. And when people are fired up, typically they're not following all the public health precautions. If you look historically, one of the reasons why the Spanish flu took off was the so-called Liberty Bond rallies, where people gathered in support of the soldiers in World War I. And there was a real debate whether or not these things should be allowed to occur. And they decided to go ahead and let them happen. And it was a massive vector of transmission.
So looking at the massive vectors of transmission, New York today apparently had a significant uptick in hospitalizations one day after they announced no deaths from COVID-19. Apparently they had an uptick in hospitalizations from 48 to 84. Mayor Bill de Blasio suggested he has no clue, none, how this uptick could have occurred, because obviously it takes 7 to 10 days for coronavirus to actually take hold. The first protest took place literally last Thursday, which last I counted was 8 days ago. So would you expect there to be a significant uptick in coronavirus cases in New York City, given the size of the protests?
There will be an uptick in hospitalizations, which I think is the best measure to follow in these areas where there have been mass protests. And last I heard 430 U.S. cities had protests. So look, this is not the stock market. You're not looking at a stock inch up every day. The hospitalizations are staggered. We know that there's an incubation period. We know that 8 days to 14 days later is when you see the hospitalizations. So when people are high-fiving, sort of declaring victory over this virus, they should know that it's a foregone effect that you see 8 days later. And we're going to watch that. Minnesota, we're going to watch that. They had a high baseline level of cases before this. Look, I'm all for freedom of speech and the right to protest, but we will for sure see an increase in hospitalizations as a result of this in 8 days.
So on a public policy level, does this basically mean that we are now open for business? I mean, realistically speaking, because the reality is that most Americans have seemed to have let this drop into the background. It was the number one story on everybody's radar two weeks ago. Now, of course, it's like the number eight story on everybody's radar after everything else that is going on. And so it seems like there is a real possibility that we could continue to lose 1,000 people a day, 1,200 people a day, because we lost 1,000 people a day in the United States from COVID-19 yesterday, and that could just continue ad infinitum, and people will basically just go about their business, and that will be the new normal.
I think we should all care about human life and not compartmentalize this as we oddly do with influenza each year, where 81,000 people died just 4 years ago with regular seasonal flu, and society is sort of oddly complacent with it. And if we have a high baseline rate of death where we've got, 1,000 deaths a month or 5,000 deaths a month, and the former CDC director says we're on target for 20,000 deaths in June, it's a pretty hot month to have 20,000 deaths. I hope we don't compartmentalize it and say, oh, this is a nursing home geriatric virus. This is a high-risk, low population, people who live in crowded conditions, people who take public transit. I hope we don't see the virus in that way. It is a very real threat.
Okay, so the CDC, in the meantime, apparently they gave their best estimate as to the case fatality rate, or the infection fatality rate, rather, of the virus. Their infection fatality rate that they estimate is now 0.26%, which, of course, is a full order of magnitude plus a half off from the original WHO estimates. You and I have been talking about this for, at this point, months, and we always suggested, I think, on this program that somewhere between 0.2 and 1% was going to be the actual infection fatality rate, not 3, not 4%. So what do you make of the CDC downgrading this to 0.26%? And also, what do you make of the truth that we have been seeing that 40 to 50% of all deaths across the country took place in nursing homes?
Well, the CDC is catching up what many of us have been talking about for a long time. And you've been talking about, we've been talking about this. You cannot simply take data from a small subgroup of tested individuals and say in that subgroup of usually a heavily skewed group of those who not only test positive and had access to testing but got sick and came for medical care, and say of those 3% died, therefore that's the case fatality rate. We've got to use some common sense. We know it's hard for this virus to hurt somebody young and healthy. Take, for example, the post-viral syndrome in children. Remember when that got a ton of attention? Now, yep. It's real. Okay, it's real. But there were 3 deaths reported. It may have been 5. If you count 2 other cases, those are tragedies, but it rivals the incidence of viral meningitis baseline year to year or seasonal flu. So this disproportionate coverage of individual cases, I think, skews things in people's minds. And the reality is the age distribution of this virus is massively variant, right? Heavily skewed towards a certain age distribution and comorbidity. Let's use that information. Let's not blow it off. Let's not compartmentalize it and say it's their problem, not ours. But let's use it to plan reopening strategies and to reopen safely.
So speaking of reopening strategies, Dr. Marty McCary, health policy advisor to President Trump and editor-in-chief of MedPage Today, a professor at Johns Hopkins. Speaking of reopening strategy, there's been a lot of talk about schools and whether children are a real vector of transmission. This makes a personal difference to me because my parents are basically sheltered with us. My parents are in their 60s. My kids are all below the age of 7. And one of the things that I have not been doing is allowing my kids to play with other kids, specifically because I don't want them coming back with COVID-19 and then transmitting it to my parents. So as we open up schools, should we be opening up schools? Are kids a real vector of transmission? How worried should I be about my kids giving my parents this thing?
I think it's still an unknown because we've not seen outbreaks in schools. I've not seen that data. I've not seen schools identified as a major vector of transmission. I do worry about high-risk individuals who come close to children who could be infected, but that's just because it's an unknown. When we see the real drivers of this infection nationwide, it's pretty clear what they are. They are mass gatherings. They are high-risk facilities. They are close proximity among those who can transmit it. So all of these questions depend on the background level of viral burden in that particular community. So, for example, if you asked me that question and you lived in, say, Minnesota or lived in parts of the country where we're still seeing a rise in cases, Montgomery, Alabama, for example, had an outbreak and their hospitals were full just a week and a half ago. Their ICUs were full. They had no ICU beds available. If you live there, I would say yeah, the parents need to be sheltered or have some barrier with the kids. If you live in other parts of the country, I'd say, look, we've got to recognize the risks of extreme measures and kids not going to schools. Because remember, our kids are different from other situations where school is an important form of nutrition for the kid. It helps guard against child abuse. And there are other public health benefits to school that we don't often consider.
So let's talk for a second about a claim that was made by some doctors in Italy that was very sort of cheering for just a moment and seems to have moved into the background. That was a claim made by a couple of Italian doctors. They said that the new tests that they are doing for COVID are showing a much lower viral load than the original tests that were being done for COVID. Do you put any stock in that at all, or is the virus basically what it is, and we can expect that as we reopen, there's going to be an uptick in cases that is consonant with the non-change of the virus?
I think it's interesting. The harder you look, right, if we launch detectives across America to look for every piece of viral strain, the more you're going to find. Now, the question is, what is clinically significant? That's the real question. Remember when people were asking about, hey, I got a package in the mail. Do I need to disinfect this thing and put it in a decontamination chamber for 2 days before I open it? And the reality is, maybe you could identify a molecule of the viral particle on the package, but it's not sufficient to be clinically relevant and really drive infection.
So that does raise questions also about, you know, things like flying on planes. So the travel industry obviously has been completely decimated by all of this. The stocks are ticking up a little bit again, but the reality is that people are very much worried about flying on planes. How worried should people be about flying on planes, and what measures do you think need to be taken on airplanes in order so that people can actually start to travel again?
Airplanes do worry me, Ben, because you don't know where the people are coming from. They could come from Montgomery, Alabama, where they're having an outbreak right now. We don't know if the person next to you is coming from a high-risk or low-risk environment. So I would say this is the time to use every precaution. When you're on a plane, make sure that mask is on at all times. Avoid any contact you absolutely don't have to do. Use your alcohol-based solutions and wash your hands frequently. And be really careful. I'm not happy with the fact that airplanes are still loading that middle seat. I think in a time of a pandemic, that would be a good move to make to sort of require that the middle seats are not filled.
Okay, so as we look at the statistics, we've seen basically that New York has really receded, which is great. We've seen most other places are basically flat. Florida remains fairly flat. Georgia remains fairly flat despite increased activity. Do you think that as we reopen, that will continue to be fairly flat so long as people socially distance and wear masks? And aside from that, that's pretty much the best that you can do?
That is probably the best you can do. Look, we've got to live our lives, but we were hoping to be in a better place. Look, we were hoping for what we call a symmetric epidemic curve, where it's a steep increase and a steep decrease. We didn't have that. Our experience in the U.S. was more like the European experience, where there was a drawn-out decline, and we're seeing that decline drawn out so long that when we reopen, and we have to because, you know, the country cannot tolerate a harsh lockdown any longer, we're opening up in the face of a higher background level of infection. Having that background level go through the summer when we were hoping we'd be in a quiescent period means that when the flu season and the cold season starts in the fall, we're going to be starting with a higher baseline level of cases. We were hoping not to be there. We were hoping the virus was going to be more seasonal, like the other four known coronaviruses that are seasonal. Here we are in June, and here we are watching Brazil, which is on the equator, still with an outbreak of infection. So we were hoping to be in a better place, but we're going to have to manage this as best we can going into the fall, hoping that the resurgence will not be as bad as the projections are suggesting it might be.
So, Dr. McCary, when you look at the statistics, and I was taking a look at the CDC estimates of death rates by population, while this is a dangerous virus, it is also true that the actual danger by population, like danger of death, not danger of damage from the virus, which we still are not clear if you get the virus, how much damage you undergo. The actual rates of death by age are fairly low, unless you are above a certain age. Like the last I checked, it was something like 0.0005 for people below the age of 50, 0.002, this is according to the CDC, for people between the ages of 50 and 64, which would be 2 out of every 10,000 people, if I'm doing that math correctly. About 13 out of every 10,000 people would die from this above the age of 65, And that is heavily located in nursing homes and above people who are above the age of 75. So how much on a regular day, how much do you think people should be worried about this virus and dying of the virus, you know, based on age?
We've always been concerned about the virus in young people as a carrier for at-risk individuals. I think on a day-to-day basis, we don't want to create hysteria. Look, early on, we didn't know what we were working with. I think we should recognize that this virus is relatively comparable to the seasonal flu in its sort of risk to young, healthy individuals. So we need to. This is a virus where it's really telling us we need to think about others.
All righty. Well, Dr. McCary, I really appreciate the time, and I really appreciate the precision, as always. Dr. Marty McCary, health policy advisor to President Trump. And check out his book, The Price We Pay, What Broke American Healthcare and How to Fix It. Dr. McCary, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Ben.
All righty. Coming up, we are going to get into the media completely botching something that President Trump said, because it's a normal day, right? Every day they do this. And today is a particularly astonishing example of all this. First, let's talk about the fact that if you do have a medical problem right now, you want to get it solved. And that is particularly true for a troublesome medical problem like erectile dysfunction. It can be embarrassing to talk about, and it can be tough to get to a doctor these days. Good news. You can get it taken care of from the comfort and privacy of your own home. Our friends at Roman have spent years building a digital platform that can connect you with a doctor licensed in your state, all from the comfort of your home.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight, driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. Go to podium.com/news today.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
While serving in Iraq, an IED took both my legs, but it didn't take my spirit.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Greg Gadsden, Army veteran.
DAV helps veterans and their families get the benefits they've earned.
Today, I'm an entrepreneur, photographer, and public speaker.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories, great and small.
My victory is just being the best that I can be.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, the media are just terrible at their jobs. Egregiously, egregiously awful at their jobs. So, it flew around social media today. You probably heard about this. President Trump supposedly saying that George Floyd was looking down and he was having a good day because the economy has strengthened over the course of the last month. There's only one problem. Trump didn't say that. He didn't say that. In fact, he didn't say anything remotely offensive. Okay, what he says here, it's kind of awkwardly phrased. It is not offensive and it is not incorrect. It is him trying to say something nice about how George Floyd's death has spurred people to take a look at equal justice under law. And the media completely botch it and misreport it because they hate Trump just that much. It's unbelievable media malpractice, except it's perfectly believable because they suck at their jobs and are awful at being humans. Here is President Trump saying an uncontroversial thing and being treated as a pariah for doing so.
Equal justice under the law must mean that every American receives equal treatment in every encounter with law enforcement, regardless of race, color, gender, or creed. They have to receive fair treatment from law enforcement. They have to receive it. We all saw what happened last week. We can't let that happen. Hopefully, George is looking down right now and saying, this is a great thing that's happening for our country. This is a great day for him. It's a great day for everybody. This is a great day for everybody. This is a great, great day in terms of equality.
So he is not saying anything about the economy there. His entire statement is utterly uncontroversial. He's saying that we are all in favor of equal justice under law, and Floyd's death has galvanized people to focus in on that. And the media were like, oh, he's a racist. Trump's bad. He's being stupid again. He didn't say anything remotely wrong, but they're damned liars. Your media, your mainstream media, damned liars. It's unbelievable. Except, again, all too believable. Speaking of your media being just crap at their jobs. Yeah, honestly, my desire to use the S word has become incredibly strong lately because everybody is just full of it. Abby Phillip is a correspondent, a political correspondent for CNN. And here's what she tweeted out via Jim Acosta. And ladies, find you a man who loves you like Jim Acosta loves Jim Acosta. Jim Acosta tweeted a picture of a D.C. city worker putting up a sign on the lamppost outside of Lafayette Square that says Black Lives Matter Place. It's a black sign that says Black Lives Matter Place. And he says, D.C. just put up a Black Lives Matter street sign outside Lafayette Park. And Abby Phillip, the CNN correspondent, said, Muriel Bowser is not playing games. That's the D.C. mayor. That is the definition of playing a game. That is literally its definition in terms of political gamesmanship. You don't like what Trump did, so you put up a sign. Whoa, problem solved, gang. But she ain't playing games. She's not playing games. She is serious about the problem, police brutality inside Washington, D.C. She is serious about the problem of her entire city nearly burning to the ground over the last week. No, she put up a sign, guys. Not playing games. She is a serious person. Photo op in front of a church, super bad. Putting up a street sign. Whoa. Hero of the month, Muriel Bowser. And it wasn't just Abby Phillip. Joyce Karam, who is a reporter for The National. She put up a video from Muriel Bowser. By the way, I still do love the fact that Muriel Bowser's screen name on Twitter is Muriel Bowser hashtag Stay Home DC. She was literally marching with the protesters yesterday, I believe. Stay Home DC. She put out a full video of workers. They hired workers to go paint across the course of a city street in giant yellow letters, Black Lives Matter. Problem solved, gang. Problem solved. So Joyce Karam tweeted out, wow, it's done. New Black Lives Matter mural painted in Washington, D.C. on road to White House. They started at 3 a.m. and just finished. Mayor Bowser approved it. Well, I mean, now that we have some words painted on the ground, I think we can all go home happy, don't you? I think that all problems have been solved. It feels like all grievances have been redressed. So well done, everybody. Just incredibly, incredibly well done. But don't worry. Only President Trump is concerned with political optics. Only President Trump. These people just make me want to vomit and never stop vomiting. Just continuous streams of vomit forever. Like George Orwell said that fascism was a boot stamping on the human face forever. All our political class makes me want to do is just vomit and never stop vomiting forever. Speaking of which, what I think I need a little bit, just to close out this week, I need some corporate virtue signaling. But how about if we corporate virtue signaled in like the most racist possible way? So Uber has now put out its policy. They say, we are committed to supporting the black community. As a starting point, we will use Uber Eats to promote black-owned restaurants while making it easier for you to support them with no delivery fees for the remainder of the year. In the coming weeks, we will offer discounted rides to black-owned small businesses. Oh, you mean you are going to segregate your rides by race and you are going to charge people less on the basis of race alone, which is illegal under federal law? You're going to discriminate openly on the basis of race? Problem solved, everybody. Things keep getting stupider. Okay, we have reached the weekend. Please, I begged you last weekend, don't burn down the country. And then you didn't listen to me, and you did. So please, if you could just wait till Monday, we'll be back then. Just keep it safe, keep it happy, try not to burn anything down. We'll see you here in a little bit. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockster. Could be a rough couple of days along the Gulf Coast from East Texas to Florida, where residents are being urged to get ready as Tropical Storm Cristobal heads towards the mainland.
The National Hurricane Center says Tropical Storm Cristobal is expected to hit from Louisiana to the Florida Panhandle over the weekend. The storm is expected to bring torrential rain and tropical storm force winds. Donnie Premiu and others in the D'Iberville, Louisiana Public Works Department are clearing drainage ditches of debris ahead of the heavy rain. He tells WLOX.
Since the storm came in the Gulf, we've just been on top of it, trying to be prepared for all, whatever comes.
Cristobal formed out of the remnants of East Pacific Tropical Storm Amanda, which crossed Central America. The two storms have brought up to 3 feet of rain, touching off flash flooding and mudslides that have killed dozens of people in Mexico and Central America. I'm Tim McGuire.
Protesters stirred by the death of George Floyd vowed Friday to turn an extraordinary outpouring of grief into a sustained movement as demonstrations shifted to a calmer but no less determined focus on addressing racial injustice. In Minneapolis, where Floyd died in police custody, the city agreed to ban police chokeholds and require officers to intervene anytime they see unauthorized force by another officer. President Trump is reopening 5,000 square miles off the New England coast to commercial fishing.
The president has reversed an Obama administration order that closed a marine conservation area. He called the commercial fishing ban deeply unfair.
We are reopening the Northeast Canyons and the Seamounts Marine Region to commercial fishing.
Mr. Trump announced his action in Bangor, Maine, where commercial fishing officials told him the move will be an economic boost for the U.S. seafood industry. Greg Clugston, Washington.
You can check out more news, read more analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstrip.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your 3-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your 3-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Few people are expected to be in Normandy, France this year to mourn the dead from D-Day.
The 76th anniversary of the Allied invasion that turned the course of World War II comes as the world is dealing with the coronavirus pandemic. U.S. Army medic Charles Shea lives in France near Normandy Beach.
Nobody can travel anymore, but we hope to see you all again next year.
Shea is 95.
I feel helpless because I am getting weaker and weaker, but in my mind, I am still with the young men that paid the ultimate price.
Shea says he knows of no other U.S. veteran making the trip to France. The pandemic poses a specific threat to the elderly, like the surviving D-Day veterans. I'm Ed Donahue.
More breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Rhonda Rockstra. A historic store is facing strong headwinds as a result of the coronavirus.
JCPenney is closing 154 stores nationwide in what it's calling the first phase of its efforts to shrink its footprint. The Plano, Texas-based retailer says it could take about 10 to 16 weeks to complete the closures. Penney filed for bankruptcy protection last month, making it the biggest retailer to do so since the coronavirus pandemic forced non-essential stores to be shut down temporarily. As part of its bankruptcy reorganization, Penney said it planned to permanently close nearly a third of its 846 stores in the next 2 years. That would leave it with just over 600 locations. Keith Peters reporting.
For the first time since mid-March, Universal Orlando opened its gates to the public. All visitors must wear face coverings and have their temperatures taken at the gate. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local? It's the Little League Baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years. Helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do. It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home. Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982. We're all in it together.
Apparently 85 to 90% of us are okay by Lunch Bucket Joe, but he's never been very good with math. And now, Led Zeppelin. Well, happy Friday to you, and welcome. It looked for a moment like things were getting better, but the left-wing radicals, I read in the Washington Post today that there are no left-wing radicals, and it's in the Washington Post. It's right there. Of course, they're talking about the New York Times, saying that there are no left-wing radicals. The news media has decided there are no left-wing radicals. Apparently anywhere on the planet, certainly not in the country, and definitely not in the street, burning our cities and tagging everything and creating the racial divisions and all of that. Well, good Friday to you, and I hope things are not crazy where you are. Things continue to be a little wacky in our nation's capital, I've got to say. Big thunderstorm ripped through last night, and we were very much in the middle of it, and I saw the storm coming, and then I saw it hit, and I saw it the lightning hitting the mall, and in fact it did hit the top of the Washington Monument in the center of the mall in Washington, and
And it also struck Lafayette Park, Lafayette Square, just across from the White House, where a lot of the violence and the, you know, setting St. John's Church on fire. There are no left-wing radicals, though. Two guardsmen were struck by lightning and taken to the hospital. And the left is happy about that because they're just a demented, bloodthirsty bunch of ghouls, I think is the polite way to put it. I saw also in the news today that right-wing extremists were arrested for planning riots in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I'm glad to hear that. I'm happy. Now we should start arresting the left-wing radicals around the country that are causing the riots. They not only planned them, they executed them. Maybe we should start doing that just here and there. I'm just sad. I don't want to, you know, wrongly incarcerate anyone, of course. But let's see if we can get some of the bad guys behind all of this and do something about it. I haven't seen an awful lot of that. I spoke yesterday about the Senator Tom Cotton op-ed in the New York Times, where he said, send in troops. And it really upset the reporters. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers at the New York Times, which, what is their slogan again? We'll put out for scoops. It's the Allie Watkins. They have sex with sources in exchange for information. At least Allie Watkins does, with multiple sources. And they promoted her when they found out. Well, I don't know if they promoted her, but they moved to New York. Maybe they're, sex deprived or something. Wanted a little more Mogambo in the newsroom, maybe. But they were very upset, and the bunch of fake reporters who are actually just lefties that went into journalism to ruin Western civilization as a goal, and they're working on it. They're making a lot of progress these days. But they were very upset, and they said that Senator Tom Cotton, who he's from Arkansas, he went to Harvard undergrad, and then he went to Harvard Law School, and then he joined the Army. And although they asked him to just be a lawyer in the Army since he went to Harvard, and everything, he said no, he wanted to be in the infantry. So he's romping, stomping, mamma jamma, served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he wrote a heavily decorated, and he wrote an op-ed for the New York Times, and they were appalled at the New York Times that they even accepted the op-ed. Well, now the New York Times has pulled it. They think they can do this now in the age of the Internet. They think they can vanish it. They can disappear it like it's an enemy of the state, and they're the left. It's a truly amazing event that we're watching with this Tom Cotton op-ed. And they're against opposing point of views, these fake reporters. They don't support freedom of speech. They don't support a marketplace of ideas. They don't support intellectual jousting. They support suppressing speech at the New York Times. This is what they do. This is the flagship journalistic outfit in Western civilization, allegedly, and they've just sold out to Xi Jinping and I'm gonna say Hu Jintao because it's just fun to say, and let's go with Kim Jong Un as well, because that's really, they're more in line with that than they are with Thomas Locke and the concepts of the Enlightenment. They've given up on the Enlightenment and on Western civilization. So they pulled the op-ed. I don't know how they think they can make it disappear from the Internet. They think it's like Trotsky and they can go bash its head in with a pickaxe or something. They're completely nuts. And they're angry about it, too. And I have the story in front of me from the phony, baloney, corrupt Washington Post. What a joke this paper is, too. What is their slogan is, it looks like a newspaper, but it's not. And that's they're happy with that one. That's a good. They're owned by the richest man in the world, Dr. Evil. Extraordinary. And Joe Biden, he doesn't think that all Americans are good people. Project Veritas infiltrated Antifa, discovered that they've got a big thing about gouging people's eyes out. They like to gouge people. This is teaching violence. But there are no left-wing radicals involved in any of this. And you should ignore anybody that says that there is. These are not the droids you're looking for. It's pretty amazing stuff. And I'll get into that. John Lennon and Yoko Ono had a son. His name is Sean Yoko Ono Lennon. I think it's actually Sean Oko Lennon. And he's got a Twitter account, and he tweeted something out to these lefties, and it was kind of surprising what he tweeted out. Maybe kind of in the mold of his father, his late father, who was gunned down by a lunatic in Central Park.
But I'll get to that tweet because it's kind of interesting. Democrats are, of course, doing everything they can to destroy race relations in the United States of America. This is not about healing race relations. This is about creating racial divisions, of course, and it's having that effect. It's their goal, and it's working. That'd be devastating to race relations in the United States, this entire exercise. And they're going to perpetuate it and create permanent divisions to the extent that they can. I'm sure they'll do pretty well at that. Governor Kuhnman, the Klansman Democrat in the Commonwealth of Virginia, with his rapist Lieutenant Governor Lord Fairfax. It's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? You can rape women, jam your hands down the pants of your staffers in the Senate like Joe Biden and violate people, and it's all just fine. Who is Tara Reid? That'll be like a Jeopardy question in about 3 weeks, and nobody will get it. Because nobody asked about it. You know, when Dana Bash at CNN interviewed Joe Biden recently, it didn't come up. None of it came up. You're not black if you don't vote for him. Didn't come up. Tara Reid didn't come up. None of the actual news came up. It was. It's good to be a Democrat because they fluff you. They don't report on you. It's pretty extraordinary. But Kuhnman was out there with the Klan hood and the black face and don't use shoe polish because it's real hard to get off. That's the Democrat governor of Virginia. It's 2020, by the way. It's the 21st century, and this is their guy. And also Joe Biden is their guy, and he's not up to the task. Boy, is he not up to the task. But Kuhnman is lecturing us all on race, and he's going to take down the statue of Robert E. Lee, statue of Robert E. Lee in Richmond, Virginia. It's been there for a while. Also in the Kentucky State House, they're going to take down the statue of Jefferson Davis, who was the Democrat. I mean, all the Democrats are just falling by the wayside. You put up these monuments to Democrats, and then years later they want to tear them down like they're the Taliban. It's like it's the statue of Saddam Hussein. These are your founding fathers, okay? I mean, honestly, you people. And also, it turns out, this is funny, I've got a funny story about Joe Biden and Robert E. Lee as well. He is not a bright man, this guy. He is, he's been here for so long. How long has he been here? That, you know, he actually voted for Robert E. Lee. He did have a vote for Robert E. Lee in the past. And I'm going to get to that. Robert E. Lee had been long since dead, but he voted in favor of Robert E. Lee. And it's amazing. It just washes off of you. The news media washes it off for you. You don't even have to show up. It's, once again, it's, you know, drunkard's dream if I ever did see one. Joe don't have to speak, and they defend him. It's amazing. Extraordinary stuff. Slate Magazine said, you know, protest is a tool, but violence is a tool, too. Slate Magazine, mainstream liberal media, violence is just another tool of the left. I think anybody who's been paying attention or knows anything about the last century is well aware of the fact that the left knows that violence is their primary tool. And Slate Magazine is endorsing that in their story, while protest, nonviolent protest is a tool, violence is a tool, too. And we'll get into that. It was posted on Breitbart, an amazing bit of video of a woman who's an American, who's an immigrant from Africa, who confronted some white liberals down at the White House and explained to them a thing or two in no uncertain terms. And this wonderful woman, I want to hang out with this woman. She's a D.C. resident. She's got a master's degree. She's got a great government job in the healthcare industry. Her name is, I think, Nestrid Yumga. And she is just wonderful, this wonderful American, the kind of Americans that we need more of. And she's great. And also what she's saying lines up beautifully with a woman in the Bronx who is part owner of a business that was sacked and looted and plundered by the left, because they're like Visigoths in the 21st century. And in the meantime, you know what the Democrats want to do? They want to defund the police. This is their big push right now, is to defund the police. They don't want no police, no stinking police, because, you know, they're the problem. This is their conclusion. Honestly, they're Steve Martin in The Jerk. It's those cans. Stay away from those cans. We shouldn't be following people who misunderstand everything that they see. It's an extraordinary time to be alive, and I'll get into that. Lots of other good stuff too: police and violence and mayhem and lightning strikes defunding the police and doing away with the police department. We are at 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625 is the telephone number here, and according to some reports, Washington, D.C. is in this weekend for the biggest protests yet. That's what we call them, peaceful protests. And, you see the nice young ladies trying to clean up their neighborhood in Washington, D.C., clean graffiti off, being lectured. It was racist, I think, the whole episode. Being lectured by one of the hooligans that's trashing the city. How dare you clean up? It's the opposite of civilization. And I love the, look, civilization is in play here, and guns are flying off the shelves like never before. And the news media just has no idea what's going on around them. They wouldn't know what to report if the truth were sitting on their desk. And it is. And therefore, what I say is already obviously true. The Washington Post is excited to announce that the Times, the New York Times, reverses its position on op-ed. See, leadership previously defended Senator Tom Cotton, combat veteran, Harvard Law, Harvard undergrad. The Tom Cotton piece, amid staff outcry, but after 24 hours of debate and acrimony, during which both the paper's publisher and editorial page editor strongly defended the need to showcase diverse and controversial viewpoints, the paper late Thursday abruptly announced that Cotton's op-ed was the result of a, quote, rushed editorial process, end quote, did not meet our standards. Diversity comes to a screeching halt at ideology's door. It's a left-wing rag run by militants who would rather see the country burn than see it go forward. If Donald Trump is reelected in November, honestly, I think there'll be mass suicides. It'll be like Jonestown, the American Jonestown. One by one, dozens of Times reporters, columnists, and editors had rebuked the paper's editorial page Wednesday night for publishing the op-ed in which Cotton stated that rioters have plunged many American cities into anarchy. That's true. And that an overwhelming show of force is needed to restore order in our streets. Well, you can see why they'd oppose that. Because they're the rioters. They're just in the boardroom, but they are the rioters, too. They went on to say, Cotton's op-ed made several questionable assertions, such as that, quote, left-wing radicals like Antifa have infiltrated marchers, end quote. That's it. They say that's not true. That is true. You see, this, they're not in the news business. They're in the Joseph Goebbels, Joseph Stalin. They're in the propaganda business. They don't know what the truth is. And that, quote, some elites, end quote, have condoned vandalism and looting. Well, they've set up, GoFundMe pages for their bail, including Kamala Harris, 13 members of the Biden campaign, Brian Fallon of the Hillary Clinton campaign. Cotton did not identify any individual making such statements, nor offer any support for Antifa, a vaguely defined group of radicals. Is that what it is? They hadn't been paying attention for years and years, quite deliberately, had instigated violence. As one Times reporter pointed out, the Antifa claim has been debunked in Times reporting as misinformation. What is true is a lie, and what is a lie is true. It is George Orwell's nightmare come to life. This is the New York flipping Times. It is a disgrace, not just to journalism, but to Western civilization. The Times was not the only major newspaper to experience a staff backlash Wednesday. Journalists at the Philadelphia Inquirer protested the decision to give an opinion piece about damage suffered by city buildings during protests. The headline of was Buildings Matter Too. You see, and they were very upset. The newspaper apologized and groveled and sniveled because they're cowards and frauds and political activists and hacks and spineless jellyfish and have no morals and no scruples, and they're certainly not journalists. We'll be right back.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
There's only one Chris Plant, The Chris Plant Show.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%.
Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 833-8-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. And NMLS number 3030.
At CDW, we get putting productivity within reach of remote employees.
That's why I'm WFC. Working from couch and moving everything within arm's length, like the microwave. Lunchtime.
You should talk to the experts at CDW. They can orchestrate a more efficient workspace solution using light, powerful devices from Lenovo to keep your teams productive from anywhere, couch included.
Yeah, but do they have grabber claws?
Whoops. IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Learn more at cdw.com/LenovoClient.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
I've always wanted to learn another language, but every time I try, it never sticks. So I decided to give Babbel a try, and I really like the teaching method of the app. I started with the beginner lesson on Babbel, and it starts with simple words and phrases, and soon you're putting those words into a conversation. Each lesson takes about 10 to 15 minutes, and they're all really different, which keeps things interesting. The app is really smart. It actually keeps track of the words I'm struggling with, so I can practice them and get better. I chose Babbel because it was created by real language teachers. They built it around real life, how people actually communicate, and what they care about. I can't wait to use my new language skills in the real world. Dos cervezas, por favor.
With Babbel, get conversational in Spanish, French, German, and more. It just takes 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now try Babbel free. Just go to Babbel.com or download the Babbel app and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com, B-A-B-B-E-L.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Let me see your identification.
You don't need to see his identification.
We don't need to see his identification.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
He can go about his business.
You can go about your business.
Move along.
Move along.
Kind of like Star Wars gaslighting. Obi-Wan. Mind control. The New York Times tells you that there are no radicals in the riots. There are no left-wing radicals. Those are false words. Antifa does not exist. We have debunked this in the past. You know, just like everything else they've debunked. Everything they debunk is true. Everything that is that they spread around is false. It's amazing. By the New York Times published an op-ed in February by a terrorist with the Taliban, and they didn't identify him as someone that is known a known terrorist. And they haven't pulled that one. They're a pro-Taliban, anti-Harvard Law School combat veteran American senator newspaper. That's what they've become. They're really quite extraordinary, these people. Let's go real quick. No, I can't. I want to hang on. I don't want to give somebody that little time. So let's wait a minute before we go to the phones, but I want to go to the phones very quickly. Some great people hanging on the line with great points. The Minneapolis City Council president is holding a vote today in the City Council to defund the police department and do away with the police department. We need to put a riot fence around Minneapolis. It's become escape from New York. We're going to have to parachute Snake Plissken in there to get decent people out. Minneapolis City Council, and you know that Keith Ellison, you know, who beats his girlfriends, the racist, he's the chief law enforcement officer in the state of Minnesota. His son is on the Minneapolis City Council. He's like Baby Doc, Papa Doc again. The Democrats don't know that there's anything to do other than ruin the world by way of government. Extraordinary stuff. He's planning on voting to defund the police. And in Los Angeles, New York, Phoenix, Washington, D.C., it's the new big idea. Defund the police.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local? It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years. Helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do. It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home. Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982, we're all in it together.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premie is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pennell Branch Manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pennell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pennell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In June, we're discussing the four-letter words of the writing process. Those are scary words like edit and read and show versus tell. In July, we take a look at marketing and how you can make money with your books.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Yes, defund the police. That's the Democrats' next project, and they're really dedicated to this all over the country. They've got their leaders, I'm making quotation marks with my fingers again, advocating Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome as a future for yourselves and your children. It's the Wild West they wish for. I've been talking about this for years, how they want to bring us back to a pre-Columbian existence with no airplanes, no electricity, no known source of energy is other than windmills. And, you know, solar panels are so dirty and toxic. Windmills are Cuisinarts in the sky, chopping up endangered species all over the place. Okay with that, though, because everything they say is pretty much everything they say is a lie in some fashion or another. Hillary Clinton spokesman calls for defunding the police. Joe Biden went so crazy that police groups are no longer backing him. Police groups that had backed him, what the hell were they thinking in the first place? The Minneapolis City Council holding a vote today to defund police, and they're going to invent some kind of a Mr. Rogers fantastical LSD trip of a safety network that won't involve police. And it's called the Wild West. It's called chaos. It's called anarchy, and that's actually what they're pushing for. Now, again, Minneapolis City Council member, the son of good old Ellis, is what's his name? Jeremiah Ellis is a city council member, and he swore his allegiance to Antifa just the other day. City council member. This is not news around the country. This is not something that the New York Times is even aware of. It's remarkable. And what they have in mind, I think we've seen again and again in failed states. And it leads to the strong dominating the weak and to enormous body counts, complete chaos and anarchy, survival of the fittest, whoever has the most ammo and can shoot straight wins. And that's pretty much the world that they're envisioning, that they're not even, you know, envisioning it in some passive way. They're destroying the country in an effort to achieve these objectives. I read to you the Ten Commandments of the Psychotic Left the other day. and Antifa and the anarchists, and success begins when America ends. That's the 10th commandment. And number one is by any means necessary. So you're dealing with a vile anti-American, anarchist, anti-capitalist, gang of lunatics. And the New York Times tells you that these are not the droids you're looking for, that this reality doesn't exist, and that this is all just spontaneous, and that there is no organization with the pallets of bricks and rocks and the stored caches of bats and metal pipes and the Molotov cocktails being hurled by Ivy League educated lawyers in New York at police cars. And now this is all just spontaneous. Pay no attention to any of this. Now let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Kevin calling from Washington, D.C. Kevin, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Kev, how are you?
Good. I just like to, give a message to everybody that's listening about, you know, David Dorn. You know, the guy that was shot. People just watched him die.
David Dorn, 77-year-old, grandfather of 10, father of 5, 38-year police officer, retired police captain, African-American, St. Louis, Missouri, trying to stop looting, was shot to death and left to die on the sidewalk.
Correct. You're right. What a great friend, you know, he was. Just go check on the business. I heard he got, the, you know, the silent alarm or whatever, or somebody called him. You know, that's, you know, what a friend, you know.
That's right. His friend owned the pawn shop.
Not even his business.
That's right. That's right. Business, I believe, owned by an immigrant family in his neighborhood, and the alarm went off, and he went to help out his friend, and he was shot to death for the effort, senselessly, by psychotic killers. And he is not – I don't even know if CNN's mentioned him.
Nope. The video – I actually watched the video last night, about 12 minutes of it. Nobody called the police, just sitting there videotaping him.
As he's dying on the ground, and it was streaming, part of it was streaming live on the internet. And this is a guy, by all accounts, everybody loved the guy. There is no mark against him. His family loved him, his neighbors loved him, the immigrant neighbors loved him. He's well known, 77 years old, retired, shot to death and left to die on the sidewalk. And I tell you, again, it's Kevin, it's a matter of if Black Lives Matter, then Black Lives should matter. Not just in this one instance, but not in all other instances. If you're going to tell me that you're so upset about the loss of one man's life, George Floyd, that you're willing to burn down cities across America, then why is it that David Dorn's life, who's a great, valuable member of the community, 77 years old, 38 years on the police force, why does his life not matter equally, Kevin? Why do you think that is?
Just plain us. I believe now that most of us, not all, stupid Americans, they're dividing us. It's working. Obviously, it's working.
Yep.
You know, so yep. I mean, you're right about everything you said. I just don't have, I don't know what their end game is to their agenda. I just don't know. I where I live, nothing's boarded up. Then I come to work in D.C., everything's boarded up. Looks like what I see when I Google other countries.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, and covered in spray paint with.
I don't understand.
Yeah, well, what can I tell you? Coming to work in D.C., everything's boarded up. St. John's is on fire. There are buildings on fire all over the place. There are hundreds of police officers injured, and there are police officers being shot all across the country. And CNN couldn't care less about David Dorn or the African-American police officer shot to death for no reason at all in Oakland, another one in critical condition, police officer in Las Vegas, shot in the head by a guy who looks like a gang member. CNN couldn't care less. Kevin, it's not about human life. It's not about black lives. It's about I've been saying for years, if black lives mattered, then Al Sharpton would be marching people around circles in front of Planned Parenthood clinics. Because Planned Parenthood clinics exterminate 40% of the black population in America. And then, I was talking about yesterday, Kevin, 7,407 African-Americans killed by murder in the United States in 2018, and there's not a single march that I'm aware of, much less a building burned, over those thousands and thousands. And, Kevin, it goes back to Joseph Stalin, the dictator of the Soviet Union that murdered 30 million people, who said, a single death is a tragedy, a million deaths are a statistic. And that's the way the left still views it, and they don't care about 60 million abortions in America, about exterminating 40% of the black population. They don't care about the tens of thousands of homicides in the streets. They just care about the man, about bringing down the man, about destroying order because you've got anarchists now. And Joe Biden is galloping over to the anarchist side of things because you can't be left enough in today's Democrat Party. It's a party driven by lunatics who are fringe cases. And then we've got a news media that defends and protects their every whim. And it's a very dangerous time, Kevin, a very dangerous time indeed. Your neighborhood is safe and sound, and families are being normal, right?
Correct. Black, white, Hispanic.
Aren't they all racist?
Like you said before, people grilling, drinking beer, everything's opening.
Right.
You know,
right.
But I want to bring up one more person. So her name is, I think her name is Sheila Lucas. She was the grandma that got shot breaking up the fight with her granddaughter, and they shot and murdered her in D.C. Nope, I haven't heard anything on that.
I got to tell you, it's not about human life. It's not about black life. And once you realize that it's not really about human life and it's not really about black lives, then you got to scratch your head and say, well, then why? Why all this for George Floyd and nothing for the 7,000?
Yeah, I mean, I'll end with this. Go ahead and say, you know, if it wasn't for double standards, Democrats wouldn't have no standards at all.
That is a fact. Kevin, thank you, my friend. Sounds like you've arrived at work. God bless you, and thank you for calling in. Keep up, being normal at home, and I'm sorry you got to come to work in D.C. with all the anarchy, but thank you, Kevin, for checking in. I appreciate it. Michael, we should go to some audio, I think. We have much audio to get to, as always. And so much of it is just extraordinary with these crazy, nutty people. And I have so much great audio that it's difficult to even say where I want to go first, as there's so much of it. Joe Biden with his crazy, crazy stuff. Listen, let's go to number 18. Let's do 18, 19, 20, Michael. Since we're talking about in the New York Times saying that Antifa doesn't exist and they're gaslighting you and they think you're all on acid like they are and you won't remember what they said, tomorrow you will forget what they said today. They certainly forget what they said today. They love the Taliban. They hate Senator Tom Cotton. Harvard, Army, Iraq, Afghanistan, U.S. Senate, they pulled his op-ed because he said that Antifa's in the streets and the radicals at the failed, just disgusting, flunky New York Times rag said, no, there is no Antifa, and everything Senator Tom Cotton says is horrible and must be pulled. But that Antifa guy, we're with him. All right, so let's go to William Barr. He's the attorney general. They started out demonizing him the moment he came to town because they knew they couldn't have one honest man wandering the land with a lantern looking for honesty. And so they set out to destroy William Barr. Honestly, if you have integrity, it's like the sane man in an insane society must appear insane. Kurt Vonnegut, Monkey House. And here is... here is William Barr yesterday at a press conference held apparently not at the Justice Department but elsewhere talking about Antifa and the lunatics in the street.
At some demonstrations, there are extremist agitators who are hijacking the protests to pursue their own separate and violent agenda. We have evidence that Antifa and other similar extremist groups, as well as actors of a variety of different political persuasions, have been involved in instigating and participating in the violent activity.
Now, the New York Times will not publish that quote from William Barr because it violates their standards. It's so easy to slip into fascism. We, freedom exists on a knife's edge, and it is fragile. And civilization, civil society, order are very fragile, and they are breakable. And there are mobs in the street today, and organized groups that have been working toward these goals for decades that are seeking to knock us off of that knife's edge into anarchy, and now they seek to pull the plug on policing itself. on police department. The very existence, the very concept of policing is anathema to them, and they seek to dismantle and destroy it. And that's not a joke. They've articulated this very clearly. I have it with me today. Lara Logan is a reporter. She is now working for the Fox News Channel. She was with CBS News for many years and 60 Minutes. She reported from war zones for a long, long time. She's reported extensively on all kinds of issues, and she saw the light a while back, so she was kicked to the curb by CBS, just like Cheryl Atkinson, because the truth is not exactly their bag either when it comes to the Obama administration and so on. Lara Logan, however, is very well plugged in around the world, and with law enforcement and U.S. military people for a variety of reasons. She was on the Fox News Channel this morning on Fox and Friends, and she's been watching all of this, and she's talking to the many people that she knows around the globe. Lara Logan this morning.
I've been talking to various intelligence sources and also counterterrorism sources and others spread throughout the law enforcement community, and the obvious suspects that they point to are China and, of course, Iran as well, and Russia, too. And you know, I also spoke to a world leader on a long way from here, I won't say who, and even from across the world, they're hearing that America tearing itself apart from within, and they see this as a moment of strategic opportunity.
And the left is all in with that. Balance giving opportunities to Iran, Russia, China, even other international bad economic terrorist groups, prime opportunity. I guess they can sit back. The left is doing it for them. For the moment, worse than Al-Qaeda. A good friend of mine, very plugged in, immigrant Central America. You may see him on telephone me yesterday that out of my, they have identified Cuban and Venezuelan actors in the streets and exchanging hands and Cuban agents, I don't want to sound conspiratorial, Cuban and Venezuelan government actors in the streets of Miami and making matters worse. Lara Logan on the mission to create racial, the standard lefty playbook thing.
There's a difference between hijacking something it and fueling it. And that's really the concern here. Who is fueling this outrage? They use race hatred and racism and all of that because when you look at their agenda, which out online, what they're actually doing is fueling racism and fueling race hatred by reinforcing stereotypes and dividing people.
No kidding. See, I noticed that too. I picked up on this. What they've been engaged in for years now, Antifa and other like-minded organizations, and you know, for that matter, so, you know, some Black Lives Matter. This Black Life matters, but that Black Life does not matter. Thousands of us are of no consequence to Black. Only when an opportunity presents itself, and it's kind of ironic, the hatists in the conversation, but they're anti-police, they're anti-law and order, they're anti-U.S. military, they're anti-U.S. success, they're anti-ism. And they're wrong about everything. Now, they've been brainwashed and indoctrinated. We've got some of that brainwashing and indoctrination coming up today, too. It is a crazy world. And if you clean graffiti in Washington, you know, coming up.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
Cars today are like computers on wheels, but you can't have the new features yourself, so when something breaks, it could cost you a fortune. Now's not the time for expensive repairs. That's why you need CarShield. CarShield has affordable protection plans that can save you thousands for a covered repair, including computers, GPS, electronics, and a lot more. CarShield understands payment flexibility is a must. Plans are customizable and as low as $99 a month. No long-term contracts or commitments. Plus, you get to pick your favorite mechanic or dealership to do the work, and CarShield takes care of the rest. They also offer complimentary 24/7 roadside assistance and a rental car while yours is being fixed. CarShield is America's number one auto protection company. For as low as $99 a month, you can protect yourself from surprises and save thousands. Call 800-CAR-6000 and mention the code PLANT, or visit CarShield.com, use the code PLANT to save 10%. That's CarShield.com, code PLANT, a deductible may apply.
Napa Know-How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more.
quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
At CDW, we get putting productivity within reach of remote employees.
That's why I'm WFC, working from couch and moving everything within arm's length, like the microwave. Lunchtime.
You should talk to the experts at CDW. They can orchestrate a more efficient workspace solution using light, powerful devices from Lenovo to keep your teams productive from anywhere, couch included.
Yeah, but do they have grabber claws?
Whoops. IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Learn more at cdw.com/LenovoClient.
There's no doubt about it. The shelter-in-place programs have been tough for lots of local businesses. And as some businesses gradually open back up, customers want to remain safe. Podium is a way to keep your local business functioning while practicing social distancing. Podium is a messaging tool for businesses that helps communicate with customers faster and more efficiently than speaking on the phone. It makes your business line textable, allowing brick-and-mortar businesses of all sizes a better way to connect with customers by requesting reviews, accepting payments, converting website leads, and just letting them know you're open. Texting is a more powerful way for local businesses to adapt to the new normal. Podium even assists in accepting safe, no-contact payments. Podium is making it easier than ever for businesses of all sizes to get started with their new starter package. Within minutes of signing up, your business could be texting. Go to podium.com/news. There's even a free version for businesses who want to try it out. That's podium.com/news today.
For 95 years, Saia LTL Freight has hit the road to deliver the goods that keep businesses and communities moving. Now, in this uncertain time, we won't stop going that extra mile. Because at the end of the day, we're all in this together for the long haul. Saia LTL Freight. Driving stability, safety, support, and strength. Visit Saia.com. That's SAIA.com.
I've got a snack that'll add a little kaboom to your keto diet. Or would that be keto boom? Either way, Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds have the bold flavor that outshines other low-carb snacks. And if keto's not your thing, you'll still love the high protein these rinds deliver. Flavors like Korean kimchi barbecue, honey chipotle, pineapple ancho chili, and more. Visit porkrinds.com to find your flavor boom.
Visit porkrinds.com today for your Southern Recipe small batch pork rinds.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
By the way, the jobs numbers came out this morning, and it is June 5th. Tomorrow is D-Day, or as Joe Biden calls it, Pearl Harbor Day. The headline at CNBC is, do something to remember and celebrate the liberation of Europe from the National Socialist German Workers' Party of Adolf Hitler. You know, the socialist workers' parties of the 20th century were quite destructive, in case you missed all that. May, the month of May, sees biggest job increases ever in the history of the country. 2.5 million jobs created as economy starts to recover from coronavirus. Now, this is what the Democrats don't want to see. This is poison to them. Non-farm payrolls rose by 2.5 million in May, and the unemployment rate fell to only 13.3%. Now, President Trump had it down to some of the lowest numbers we've seen in the history of the country, had the lowest African-American unemployment rate in the history of the country. And amazingly, the African-American unemployment rate actually went up last month. I don't know, have anything to do with anything? Maybe, but black unemployment climbed to the highest in more than a decade, Bloomberg is thrilled to announce, because we know where Bloomberg's politics are. Boy, it's good to own the media like this, isn't it? I mean, they literally own this media. As the coronavirus pandemic continued to weigh on the U.S. labor market, a 16.8% rate for black Americans topped that for white Americans, which ticked down to 12.4% last month. Now, that's because it is a recovery in progress. And the news media and the Democrats, but I repeat myself, they don't want to see a recovery. I mean, I've played audio of them talking about how a recovering economy is poison to them. An Obama administration economist speaking to a group of Democrats saying that they better brace themselves for some of the best economic numbers they've ever seen as the economy rebounds. We're talking about the V-shaped drop in the economy, you know, flattening the curve on the coronavirus and all that. The V-shaped drop, because it dropped off a cliff with the Wuhan, the commie virus, and the shutting down of the economy. Obviously, it fell practically off a cliff. And President Trump was predicting it would be a V-shaped recovery. And it's the job of the Democrats and the news media to flatten that V. They need to flatten that recovery, because what's good for America is bad for the Democrats. What's good for you is bad for Joe Biden. What is good for the economy is they're terrified that there will be an economic recovery. They want to do everything they can to stand in its way and slow it down, and then take credit for it if Joe Biden should win and President Trump should lose.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.